Blog Talk Radio.
U.S. House of Representatives Speaker John Boehner outlined his position on the standoff surrounding raising the debt ceiling in a press conference on Thursday.
Well, what we want to do is offer the president today the ability to a temporary increase in the debt ceiling, an agreement to go to conference on the budget, for his willingness to sit down and discuss with us forward to reopen the government and to start to deal with America's pressing problems.
It's unclear what President Obama's response to his proposal will be when they meet later today. He had originally said he would only negotiate once the debt ceiling had been approved.
We are now 3 days into a completely unnecessary, completely avoidable Republican show, and there is more talk than ever about our inability of our leaders to find common ground on central economic and fiscal issues of our time. We all know how we got here. For years now, we've heard a small minority in this country rail against government. When I hear the latest tirades from some of the extremists in House, I am struck by how vague these complaints are. The anarchy gang is quick to malign government. But when was the last time anyone called for regulators to go easier on companies that put lead in children's toys, or for food inspectors to stop checking whether the meat in our grocery store is crawling with deadly bacteria, or for the FDA to ignore whether morning sickness drugs will cause horrible deformities in little babies? We never hear that. Not from political leaders in Washington, and not from the American people. In fact, whenever the anarchy gang makes head in their efforts to damage our government, the opposite happens. After the sequester kicked in, Republicans immediately turned around and called on us to protect funding for our national defense and keep the air traffic controllers on the job. And now that the House Republicans have shut down the government, holding the country hostage because of some imaginary healthcare boogeyman, Republicans almost immediately turned around and called us to start reopening parts of our government. Why do they do this? Because the boogeyman government is like the boogeyman under the bed. It's not real. It doesn't exist. What is real, what does exist, are all the specific important things that we Americans have chosen to do together through our government. In our democracy, government is not some make-believe thing that has an independent will of its own. In our democracy, government is just how we describe the things that we, the people, already decided to do together. The Food and Drug Administration makes sure that the white pills that we take are antibiotics and not baking soda. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration oversees crash tests to make sure that all new cars have effective brakes. The Consumer Product Safety Commission makes sure that babies' car seats don't collapse in a crash and that toasters don't explode. We know that government doesn't work. We know that no institution is infallible. People make mistakes, ideas fail, and sometimes we get things wrong. But our response to give up, our response isn't to sit back and say, "I told you so." We're not a nation of quitters. Our response, the American response, to fix it, to make government work better. Our democracy is an experiment, and it's always evolving. We constantly redesign, reimagine, and improve on what we do together. But time and time again throughout our history, we have reaffirmed the simple truth that government matters. So, Mr. President, to those who have forced us to the brink, to those who rail against a make-believe government, to those who seem to rejoice in anarchy, to those who have salivated the chance to shut down our government because their extremist views have left them disconnected from the experiences of the American people, it is time to hear a simple message. You can do your best to make government look like it doesn't work when you stop it from working. You can do your best to make government look paralyzed when you paralyze. You can do your best to make government look incompetent through your incompetence and ineffective through your ineffectiveness. But sooner or later, the government will reopen. Because this is a democracy, and this democracy has already rejected your views. We have already chosen to do these things together because we all know that we are stronger when we come together. And when this government reopens, when our markets are safe again, when our scientists can return to their research, when our small business can borrow, when our veterans can be respected for their service, when our flu shots resume and our Head Start programs get back to teaching our kids, we will have rejected your views once again. We are not a country of anarchists. We're not a country of pessimists and ideologues whose motto is, I am, the rest of you are on your own. We're not a country that tolerates dangerous drugs, unsafe meat, dirty air, or toxic mortgages. We are not that nation. We have never been that nation, and we will never be that nation. Today, a political minority in the House that condemns government and begged for this shutdown has had its day. But like all the reckless and extremist factions that have come before it, their day will pass, and our democracy will return the important work that we have already chosen to do together. Thank you.
Will will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Ron Reck Show. I'm your host, Ron Reck, and we're live on BR. Hope you enjoyed the two clips I played there on the what's the deal on our government a little bit. Think about it. It's all right. We're in trouble. Anyway, tonight is a special night on the show. A very special guest on with us. Dr. Yaffa Bey, I believe I said that correct. I hope I did. If not, please correct me. This is a very good show tonight. Definitely need to take a look and listen. But like Anthony announced to everybody, our faithful listeners, make sure you have your dictionary ready and a pen and paper ready to write. But anyway, without further ado, I better get my co-host on here before I get in any trouble. So anyway, good evening, Anthony. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, good evening, Ron. I'm well, thank you, and yourself.
I'm doing a long day, as usual.
Okay, you're breaking up also.
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that any better?
Yes.
That's right now?
It's Yaffa.
Okay.
Yaffa Bey.
Yaffa Bey. Okay, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Excuse me.
You're still breaking up. But I want to bring in this phenomenal woman. She is this is a treasure. She is a treasure. She is a rare pearl that you just come across that is just rare. And I'm so honored that she has agreed to grace us with her presence on this show. And so without
Absolutely.
Further ado, we present to you Dr. Yaffa Bey.
Good evening, Dr. Yaffa Bey. How are you this evening? I got her on the board.
Okay, maybe she muted herself. She should be here in a second.
Could be. She's on hold for a little while.
Yeah.
But anyway, I won't be opening lines up for quite a while, folks. We're going to do a little different tonight. If you have a question again for the question, then I'm going to mute you again, and then we'll, come back to you as we do. So
yes.
It makes a fair chance to ask questions and so forth. But,
yes, questions
anyway,
and our comment.
Right.
Well,
and behave yourselves.
Yes, because you will be muted or kicked out immediately.
Absolutely. But it's been pretty cool in the morning here in Missouri.
Oh, good. It's been raining all day here.
Yeah. You seem to get a lot of rain there lately.
It's been a while. I don't know. We've been getting it now. And trust me, believe me, when I tell you, I've been feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got your dictionary and your pencil and paper?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm ready to go.
Very good.
I've been waiting.
Black Law's
dictionary. I've been waiting all week. I got that, too.
Yeah, this is truly going to be a treat. Oh, I'm telling you, Yaffa is truly, she's a rare pearl.
Excellent.
She truly, truly is.
Yes. Yeah, I got two versions with me on the
mm-hmm.
Black's Law Dictionary. I brought up, I actually have four dictionaries here. I'll flip quick, man. plus I have another computer going. So...
Well, that was smart.
Oh, my sound doesn't matter.
I should have turned on my desktop. It's as old as Methuselah and takes just as long. But I have the Black Law's Dictionary, the 6th edition.
Okay.
So mine is older than yours.
I'm sure it's probably printed. anyway, I think I got to run another. Hold on one second. This one on.
Okay.
I got two open. How are you doing this evening, Dr. Yaffa Bey? Is that correct?
I've been here for the longest talking. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear
yes,
you
ma'am.
Now. Hello.
I will
I
never
unmute
on my end.
But
oh, that
yes,
was
yes,
Ron.
Ma'am.
I'm sorry. Exactly.
Well, there's actually two 213 area codes in here now, and I unmuted one. I thought was
one
your.
Of my
oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Please excuse me. Forgive
that's
me for
okay.
that. I didn't mean to do that.
No, that's okay. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. How are you all doing? And thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Very well. Thank you.
I want to start, based on where you started, I'm going to start out by sharing with individuals because, the key to today's show is about words and what you don't know about the English language that you speak. I was listening to the music that you play, Gil Scott-Heron, and he said the revolution will not be televised. And I submit to you that it probably will not be televised, but you can best believe that it will most likely be YouTube.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. So,
I'm sure.
Let me start with just think. Right now, you started out playing something about the governmental shutdown. So let's start there.
Okay.
The governmental shutdown is occurring based on budgets and revenue, which most people call money, right?
Right.
So let's grab these dictionaries. For those of you that have a law dictionary, you would want to look in your Black's Law 4, 5, or 6. 5, 6 would probably be better, to look up the word money. In the definition of M-O-N-E-Y, it says in no uncertain terms that money does not embrace notes. And if you reach into your pocket and you pull out these greenbacks with dead presidents gracing them that you consider in your mind to be money and read right across the top of it, what does it say? Federal Reserve note.
Yes.
And in the lawful definition of money, and perhaps I should, do I need to get the dictionary and read it, or is it sufficient for me to just...
I had the Black Laws number 6.
So do I. Do you have it out? Do you have it open on money?
Yes, and I have it open to money. I have it open to money.
Let's have the definition of money, and we're going to tell you what money is not, and then we're going to tell you what money is. Let's start there.
Okay.
Okay.
Money. An usual and ordinary, except, I don't have all my glasses here. Exceptions. It means coins and paper currency used as circulating medium of exchange and does not embrace notes, bonds, evidence of debt.
Back up. Say that part again. Does not embrace what?
Does not embrace notes, bonds.
Money does not embrace notes. Your greenbacks.
Yes.
Say what across the top? Federal
Reserve note.
Now keep going.
Yes.
I just wanted to reiterate that point. Keep going.
Okay. Debt or other personal or real estate. A medium of exchange authorized or adopted by a domestic or foreign government as a part of its currency. And then it gets the UCC code.
No, we don't need that part. Keep in mind that the United States Constitution determines that money is gold and silver in the United States coin. Well, the United States no longer manages its own money. It no longer prints or makes the money. That is now in the hands of a private institution called the Federal Reserve Bank. And a lot of people that are awake and aware are fully cognizant of that. But the question becomes, if Federal Reserve notes are not money, according to the law dictionary itself, the legal definition says the definition of the term note does not embrace or include notes. The term money does not include notes. When you go and apply for so-called employment and secure a so-called job, one of the things that entices you to accept the position is the rate of so-called money that the employer says they are going to pay you. And usually your question is, well, how much does the job pay? Now, some people are told so many $1,000 a year or $1,000 a month, depending on where you're annually, yearly, or whatever. And others are told, oh, you're going to get paid so many dollars per hour.
Well, let's comprehend and understand this. Let's look in the same law dictionary under the word master and servant.
Okay.
Master and servant.
Okay.
Now, most of my listeners are already up on this. None of this is new to them. It's like, okay, well, tell us something we don't know. Probably a lot of your listeners are like, okay, well, tell us something we don't know. But it's important to clarify this for people.
Yes.
If it's not in this 6, then it would definitely be in the 5, master and servant. In the Black's Law 6th edition, it's on page 975, left-hand column, second entry from the bottom left. Or second entry up from the bottom left. I'll read it.
Okay, thank you.
Master and servant. The relation of master and servant exists where one person, for pay or other valuable consideration, and consideration is a very important term, enters into the service of another and devotes to him his personal labor for an agreed period. The relation exists where the employer has the right to select the employee, the power to remove and discharge him, and the right to direct both what work shall be done and the manner in which it shall be done. Now, it should say, it goes on down to say, we're going to skip the reinstatement aspects and the supplementals of the law, where it says, such terms, master and servant, has generally been replaced by employer and employee. So, when they did the 14th Amendment to eliminate so-called slavery, what it did was not so much eliminate slavery, but put everyone into bondage and gave corporate fiction entities the lawful legitimate right to be considered legal persons. So, when you have a so-called job, and an employer, and you are an employee, those two terms, employer and employee, are modern-day replacement terms for the older term, master and servant. When we talk about masters and servants, and servants are also slaves, they're also known as slaves or serfs. When you talk about master and servant, you're talking about some form of slavery or bondage. Now, everyone is in this type of bondage now, because most people have employers and are employees. And a lot of people work in plants, which is short for plantation. And the term supervisor is the modern-day word for overseer. And I don't know if that's going to be under supervisor or under overseer, but I'm going somewhere with this because of how the show began. What I want to say to you is this. When you begin even your first so-called job as a teenager, those of you that have employers and you are employees now, you are a servant under a master with an overseer called a supervisor, and your master is in your employer. And you're no more than a servant that has never been paid in your life. As long as you have worked, I don't care if you've worked your entire life, reached 65 years old and retired, you have never, ever, ever been paid or found yourself in a position to receive the dollar they told you when they said, we're going to pay you $18 an hour. And this was brought to my attention years ago by a great guy named Kareem. I was like, wow, you know, now, he's not telling everyone, but I'm telling everyone. So let's look up what a dollar is. When you are told you're going to be paid $8 an hour, $10 an hour, $20 an hour, you have never gotten a dollar in your life. What happens is on payday, you receive a paper check. Nowadays, a lot of people don't even get the luxury of receiving a paper check. Now what you find yourself acquiring is an electronic debit, some number of invisibility. There's a computer entry has an electronic debit that they call a wire deposit or a direct deposit or a wire transfer into your account. Now let's look at what a dollar is. And I know you advise your listeners to take notes, and I'm going to suggest that they take very careful attention. And if you missed this part, you need to go back and re-listen to this. I had one of my listeners ask me one day, you know, what is a dollar? And I'm like, you know, I can't quote it to you exactly because I have to find my notes. And when I find them, I'll give them. And I don't recall who that was in all of my extreme list of databases of emails. So I can't respond. Hopefully they'll get an opportunity to hear this show so they will know what is a dollar.
Yes.
This is what you should have received on payday and never, ever did and never, ever will. We're going to talk about gold. I'm sorry.
Can I ask
you,
do you want me to, I'm sorry. Do you want us to look for the dollar in the Black Laws Dictionary or the regular dictionary?
No, you're not going to find it there.
Oh, okay.
Sure. You're not going to find it there. So I'm going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
A dollar is a type of weight and measure. Corinne could never explain this to me and make me comprehend it. He just, oh, it's a weight and measure. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And see, I'm one of these. If I don't get it, I can't make the next individual get it. But if I comprehend it, I can make it very, very clear for everyone else. Let's look at gold, okay? Because in the United States, according to the Constitution, United States money or coin is gold and silver. And that is the only thing that can be utilized to pay off any type of debt whatsoever, which is why the national debt keeps growing, because we keep using Federal Reserve notes, and a note is a bill, like house notes, car notes. That means you owe somebody. And people call the dollars bills. I need a $5 bill or a $10 bill or a $1 bill. Well, bills are things that you owe. Phone bills, gas bills, light bills, water bills. Bills are things you have to pay somebody. We've never paid anyone because we've never gotten gold or silver. We can never pay off the debt. Now, let's get into gold. Does anybody have a question before I continue?
No. Anyone have a question in the chat room? I don't see anyone with their hands raised yet.
Listen carefully. A grain of gold amounts to 65 milligrams of gold. 65 milligrams of gold is one grain of gold. An ounce of gold is 480 grains of gold. And that comes to something like 537.5 grams in the AD. And I can't pronounce this term, A-V-O-I-R-D-U-P-O-S or something to this effect. It's terms that they use to measure gold. Now, a penny weight of gold is 24 grams. 24 grams of gold is considered a penny weight of gold, and that equals to approximately 0.05 ounces of gold. Now, listen carefully to what let me give you what 1 ounce of gold is, and then I'll try to explain what a dollar is. 1 ounce of gold is 480 grams of gold, which I said a moment ago. Well, it takes 25.8 grains of gold to equal $1. Have you ever been paid 25.8 grams of gold times the $8 per hour you were supposed to receive? If you are told by the employer, this job pays $8 per hour. They are supposed to give you 8 times 25.8 grains of gold times the number of hours that you work. And on payday, you are supposed to receive that much gold as payment. That is how you calculate a dollar. Has anyone ever been paid $1 in real money, which is gold, which comes to 25.8 grains of gold in your life from any employer you have ever had? If the answer is no, you have always worked for free. Because according to the law dictionary, money does not embrace notes. And when you go cash your check and get peeled out a bunch of green Federal Reserve notes, you have still not yet been paid. You have been given debt instruments to keep you and the country indebted to someone else. Now, if you want to look at silver, $1 in silver, let's say they don't want to pay you in gold. They've never even paid you in a dollar of silver. $1 of silver amounts to 412.5 grams grains of silver. That's a dollar.
Whoa.
So has anyone ever been paid by any employer a dollar in real money, which is silver or gold? And by that I mean 412.5 grains of silver or 25.8 grains of gold. Have you ever?
No, I haven't.
And remember, one grain of gold is 65 milligrams of gold. So if you haven't been paid that, have you ever been paid in your life? If you've never been paid in your life, hence the master and servant trickery of now calling you employee. See, if they call you a servant or slave, and you have to call them master, overlord, and overseer, it becomes very clear, plain, and evident to you that you are working for free and that you are still a slave.
Yeah.
But most people do not know that the word employee means servant, and that supervisor means overseer, and that employer means master. Most people did not know that the word money does not embrace any kind of note at all, including a Federal Reserve one.
Yeah, that is true, because
absolutely,
a lot of people, even that I run across today, they do not realize that it's a Federal Reserve note.
Right.
And the Federal Reserve is not a part of the United States government or the American one either.
Mm-mm.
Right.
I tell people, you know, when I talk, I tell them, look, monopoly money has more value to it than the money they hand you. You know, and people hate that. But it actually does have more value than a dollar bill has. Monopoly money. For the ink and paper. I know it's crazy.
Now, the job of the Secretary of the Treasury, one of the primary functions is to maintain the parity of value with the values I just quoted you for all forms of money.
Mm.
And the Federal Reserve note is nowhere near an equivalent. Now,
Wasn't it Rockefeller that quoted that if you control the money, you control the people?
Yes, and you know what? That wasn't good enough for the control freaks. And you know, Rockefeller is another branch of the Rothschild. That's on the female side of the bloodline.
Right.
It's a branch of the Rothschild, which are
yes, ma'am.
Were renamed. As they used to be Bowers, and now they've been renamed as Red Shield or Rothschild. But a lot of people are not aware. The person that asked me to give them this information, and I had it, but I just didn't know where it was. I knew what it was in, but I didn't know where that thing was located. But he was like, I said, the best way I can explain it to you is this, because they're like, why isn't the money worth what it's worth? I'm like, real money is still worth pretty much what it was worth way back in the day when they initially set the gold standard, which was like in 1792, roughly, somewhere about there. When they first came up with this standard, weight and measure for real money as gold and silver, $35... real dollars then would buy what a certain particular type of pair of shoes. If you go and try to buy silver now, I don't know what the going rate is for ounce. I should have checked with my homegirl Empress Ma'at before I got online, because she watches the money every single day. She knows what the rate is going for every day of the week. You can call her, she can tell you what the value of silver is today and what the gold of silver is today. I don't watch the money the way she does. And like she always says, everybody's getting racial all the time and getting all stressed out. You need to watch the money. If people start watching the money, they'll see what's really going on here, and they'll get up off of the diversion. But $35 back then would buy approximately what $35 would buy today. And I'm talking about 35 real dollars. That's what people don't comprehend. The thing is it's not that the price of gold or real money has changed so much. What has changed much is the Federal Reserve note that keeps fluctuating all the time that they utilize to compare the real money with. The value of a dollar has basically been consistent all this time. The thing is that people aren't using real dollars.
Right.
So I wanted to bring that out. I was going to bring it up later, but I brought it up based on how when I was sitting on hold waiting on the show to begin prior to the Revolution Will Not Be Televised playing, this is what I heard being discussed. I said, okay, well, I need to follow this train of thought because that's what people are listening to. I need to try to stay on this boat, ride that train, as they say. Now, if no one has any questions about that or comments about that, I'm going to go on into some additional terms that people take for granted every day that they need to know. I want to start out with, were you going to say something? Hello? I mean, hi?
Yeah, I didn't hear nobody.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Let's start out with the word passion. If you look in a regular dictionary and you look at the word P-A-S-S-I-O-N, passion, like, oh, the passionate throes of lovemaking or the passion of the Christ. The word passion means to suffer. Most people have never looked that word up, but they use it all the time. And if you have a regular dictionary, I challenge you to turn in your regular dictionary to the word passion. Find the brackets, which are usually either immediately behind the word or somewhere behind practically the last definition entry in the definition list for this word. And just to make sure that I'm on the same page, let me get up and grab a dictionary. Now, the dictionary I'm going to grab is going to be Random House College. I'll also pick up this 1828, which may not read quite right. But let me look and see. I'm going to start with the Random House one because it says,
from a Latin verb meaning to suffer, is a term applied to a very strong feeling about a person or thing. Okay, passion. And it's got different, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, that's what I wanted people to see, because usually when I start talking, people have a tendency to have emotional responses and emotional reactions to the things that I say because they've never heard it, and where did you get that from? And, well, that was then, this is now, you know, words are evolving, and they don't mean what they meant back then. I submit to you, admit what it meant all along. If your name is William and everybody starts calling you Bill, just because you start answering to Bill does not mean that William is not your name. Just because you start calling somebody a term or utilizing a word and saying it doesn't mean that, it means this, it doesn't mean it doesn't mean that, it means in your mind it doesn't mean that. But when you open your mouth and you utter the sound, a tone frequency, and words start uttering forth as wind that pushes air out of your mouth in practically every direction when you open your mouth, it moves all of the molecular world in front of your face. And it's like throwing a pebble in an ocean. It causes a ripple effect. And these words that you say, no matter what you think they mean, they resonate a particular way in the invisible realms and cause a particular end result because they go out in the omniverse and they radiate and somewhere they cause an effect. You know how they say, you should be cognizant of the things that you say, because the things that you say are a direct result of the things that you think. The things that you think become the things that you say. The things that you say become the things that you repeat. A lot of times the things that you say and repeat become your actions, and your actions start to form your character. So it's very significant for people to become aware of what they are saying when they open their mouth and speak this thing we call English. So when I have people look up a word and say, that's not what violence means, that's not what suffer means, then they can follow. Now, this term violence, let's look up the word V like Victor, I-O, L-E-N like never, C-E. When you look in the definition of violence, you will find that one of the key definitions of the word, no, Shayla, one of the key definitions of the word violence is the distortion of fact. Does anybody see that in their regular dictionary? That this, when you look up violence, let me turn here. You guys are going to be getting there faster than me, which is really good.
I don't know everything.
I'm not a linguist. I'm not a etymologist. I don't know all the languages. I don't know all the words. I can only share with you the little bit I have found, which is not that much, but it's important enough that I think everyone else should know it, despite your age, ethnicity, or gender, or your so-called, you know, whatever, your religious belief. You should know what this stuff means. But what were you
trying
to say? You were trying to talk?
Sister Yaput, I'm looking on the Entomology Dictionary online.
Those are not
and,
very good.
Oh, okay. I know because I don't see what you're saying. I see dishonor. And
okay, well, the dictionary's online. The more I talk, and it's been brought to my attention by multiple of my listeners, the more I talk, the more they start changing things online.
Oh, okay.
It's not just me. It's me and Asir, the Duke of Tears, and Tala Sari Day, and, you know, Bobby Hammond. The more we talk, the more they go modifying and changing things and pulling things and raising the price of the books that are suggested and things like that. So I don't trust e-books or electronic information, because I have personally seen with my own eyes where I have been on a phone conversation with someone about a particular website of definition, and it reads one particular way while we're on the phone. And then it's like, well, you know, let's bring so-and-so in on this call three-way, and we bring someone else in on the phone, and by the time we get another person in on the phone, somebody has hit a keystroke, and everything that we read now reads differently. And I recall this happening recently, and it was so bad that the next we hemmed and hawed so much about it. I even mentioned it on air on my show when I had my show, that by the next day they had recorrected it and put it back like it originally read. I guess they didn't think anyone was going to notice. The problem with e-books and electronic data is if someone does not like the way it reads, they can change it with the stroke of a key, so that it reads the same for everyone all over the world, whether it's accurate or not.
Yeah, I have my hard copy. I'm getting ready to look there. I just don't have my glasses so I can really see it.
Well, I'm looking in the Random House College Dictionary, and my edition, unfortunately, my four-year-old tore the pages out, and I kept trying to retape and keep them on, and eventually I lost the copyright year on this one. But I believe it was either 1973, I think it was like a 1973, perhaps a 1976. And on page 1469, top right column, second entry on the right, the word violent says, swift and intense force. That's entry number two, rough or injurious physical force, action, or treatment. Entry number three says, an unjust or unwarranted exertion of force or power. Entry number four says, a violent act or proceeding. Entry number five says, rough or immoderate vehemence as a feeling or language. And listen to number six, entry six, which is the last entry. They usually leave the best for last, so they know most people don't read past the first or second entry, and almost no one reads the bracket. It says, entry number six, injury as from distortion of meaning or fact. That's what violence is. Most people have no idea that the term violence has anything at all to do with the distortion of meanings or information and facts. And the English language is very much a two-headed sword or a two-tongued dragon that distorts a lot of what is said, what is written. Things don't mean what they mean. They don't mean what they meant. There's a guy named, David I can't think of his last name off the top of my head at the moment. He wrote a book called American History in Black and White. He is a so-called white male Republican Mormon in Texas. And he started finding out the truth that most people have no clue about. And he's like, whoa. And he even shared this with Glenn Beck. And you can, his name is Barton. Eli Boy, A-R-T-O-N, Barton. David Barton just came to me, wrote a book called American History in Black and White. If you go and find him on Glenn Beck, you will find him disclosing a lot of information. And he's like, wow, you know, if people knew the truth about the history of the United States, we would get along here so much better. This would be a much different country now. And even Glenn Beck had to go, wow, you know, I didn't even know most of the things that are in your book. But this guy is catching heck from publishers now that don't want to publish and saying that he is distorting facts, when in fact he's not distorting facts. What he is saying is, when I wrote this book, and I think a lot of it has to do with the Thomas Jefferson scenario, I believe that's the president he's talking about. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the one. I believe he said some things that they were saying were distortions. And what he was trying to explain, which didn't help because they basically blocked the release of this book, which is not the same American History in Black and White, but it's a different book that I think is probably the result of that one. But at any rate,
is that the People's History?
To tell them is,
Was that the People's History of the United States?
Is that it? Is the People's History? I thought it was American History in Black and White. I think the People's History, isn't that by Howard Zinn?
Yes.
Or did you?
Howard Zinn, yes.
No, I'm talking about David Barton.
Yeah, and, okay, Sister Agonia said that it is David Wynn, W-Y-N-N, Miller.
David Wynn Miller is a totally different cat.
Miller,
unless I'm mistaken, he has a there's a video of him out talking about the Constitution. Come on, people, stay with me, okay? I'm getting derailed with people all over the place.
Okay.
If I give you a name, and I'm saying this to all the listeners, if I give you a name, do not try to counter me with a different one. Now, if I don't remember and you know who I'm talking about, then it's helpful. But if I go, oh, I remember, and the name is this and this, I don't need you to tell me that it's not what I said when it comes to my memory. When it comes to my memory, I'm usually relatively accurate about it. I'm talking about David Barton. And a book called American History in Black and White.
Yes, one of our listeners put in a link for his book on Amazon.
You don't even have to go there. You can just get a teaser of what he's going to say in the book by finding him on YouTube being interviewed by Glenn Beck, G-L-E-N-N, last name Z like boy, E-C-K, Glenn Beck.
Yes, okay.
Now, the point I was making was, in his book, when he was accused, and this is not this book, it's a different book he wrote that followed American History in Black and White. I believe it was about Thomas Jefferson, I believe. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I believe that's who it was about. They were saying they don't want to publish it because he was distorting facts, which is what one of the definitions of violence. He was not distorting facts. What they don't know is what he knows. A lot of people do not realize that words have a particular meaning. And if you really want to know what a word means, you have to look into the etymology of a word, or at the very least, look at what the word meant at the time a particular occurrence was going on. So there are some things that he stated in this book that he quoted that they were saying were erroneous and not accurate. And he said, no, what I said is not erroneous and inaccurate. What I had to say was based on a dictionary from by Noah Webster for the year 1828, which was around the time that this occurrence occurred. And at that time, this is what the word meant. I am not distorting facts and being inaccurate in my information. But they couldn't follow that train of thought because they're on the whole, well, that's not what the word means. But just because you haven't done your due diligence doesn't mean he has not done his. He has done his due diligence. And if the word means exactly what he said he meant, what he said it meant, the problem is because they haven't looked into the etymology of the word or haven't gotten an older dictionary, they're on some modern-day trip about what the word means, and they are the ones that are wrong. But as a result of this so-called violence, distortion of fact that they accuse him of, they are barring the release of one of his books. That was the whole point I was trying to make about the distortion of fact and the word violence, because I know a lot of people do not know that the word violence means that. Now, a lot of people run around and they talk a lot about their right to travel. I have the right to travel. I have the right to travel. And I submit to you that the word right and the word travel are both very strongly oppositional words that people need to think twice about when they utilize them. If you are going to utilize these terms, especially in a legal scenario or in a court scenario, when you utilize certain verbiage, it is to your advantage to also include a definition page with your declaration, proclamation, affidavit, motion, move, or whatever it is you're submitting to the court to define what you mean by this term, so they cannot run with it and assume that it means something other than that that can be utilized against you. For example, let's look in the Black's Law Dictionary under the word right, R-I-G-H-T. If you know the legal and lawful definition of the term right, then it is not something you want to go in a courtroom swearing up and down you have. I have my rights, I have my rights, when you have no idea what the word even means, because when you find out what it means, yes, you do have your rights, and that's not what you are meaning when you're standing there trying to defend your liberal opportunity that you're calling a right. So turn in your Black's Law Dictionary to R-I.
Is this for right to travel? Is so many right, you know,
no,
right to do this, right to that?
All by itself. Just the word
just right by itself, okay. Okay.
R-I-G-H-T. Only
yeah, I got
that
it.
Word and nothing else.
Okay, I got it.
Can you see it or do I need to pick it up?
I see it, but
on?
You can pick
okay,
it up.
You want to read
yeah,
it?
I have Black Laws number 6.
Okay, if you have your glasses on, then let's have it.
I don't have my glasses on, though. No.
Okay, well, then let me pick it up. Ron, do you have your dictionary or is he on somewhere else doing something else?
Ron?
No, I'm here. I'm looking it up right now. I'm looking at 3-4
okay.
dictionaries. And I'm all over the place on this.
Okay, what Black Law do you have?
I have Black
well,
Law
I have all of them.
6th edition. Hmm?
Oh, he has all of them, sister. Yeah,
one,
for which
two,
one?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and I think 9.
I got 9. Yep.
You have 9. I don't think
yes,
that's going to help you. Okay, that's not all of them.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm comparing. Yeah, I have a few more to collect yet. But I have a large amount of them, as far as I know.
Okay,
it's been published.
Well, I'm going to start reading the definition of right out of Black's Law 6th edition. It's on page 1323. On the right hand column, last entry on the right is where it begins. Now, me, I don't usually have to read all of this, but I will for the benefit of your listening audience. Because some people
okay.
do not have the dictionary, and when I jump right to the meat and potatoes, people are like, okay, that's not how mine reads, because I've jumped somewhere that they couldn't keep up. So let's
right.
start here. Right as a noun and taken in an abstract sense means justice, ethical
mm-hmm.
correctness, or consonance with the rules of law or the principles of morals. Now keep in mind, they said in an abstract sense. It goes on to say, in this signification, talking about abstract, it answers to one meaning of the Latin jus, spelled J-U-S, and serves to indicate law in the abstract, considered as the foundation of all rights or the complex of underlying moral principles which impart the character of justice to all positive law or give it an ethical content. Now, keep in mind, we're still in an abstract form, which when you are in a court, abstract be dang, you're only concerned about the juristic content of a word. It goes on to say, as a noun and taken in a concrete sense, a power, privilege, faculty, or demand inherent in one person and incident upon another. Now, that is very, very critical. Most people are not going to know what that means until I go a little bit further, because they're telling you right there, but a lot of people don't know how to read, so they cannot see what they saw. They won't see what I see when I read that. And just so you know, for the record, when they talk about privileges, instead of power, privilege, faculty, the word privilege is synonymous with privilegium. Privileges come in two types. There are odious privileges and favorable ones. I'm on the phone. Go on. So comprehend that when you start talking about a privilege, you have to know which privilege you're referring to. An odious one, which is going to harm you, or a favorable one, which is going to aid you. It goes on to say, rights are defined generally as powers of free action. Now, keep in mind, they said that they are defined that generally. That is a general definition, not a concrete one. It falls more in line with being abstract. And the primal rights pertaining to men are in, now you should say men, not women, to men are enjoyed by human beings, and that's a whole other term that we're not even going to touch on this show, purely as such, being grounded in personality, or personality, my bad, I thought it was personality, because the word personality and personality are two different terms legally also. Personality and existing antecedently, which means before, to their recognition by positive law. But, now this is where it gets very critical. Listen carefully to this part, because this is what it means in law, in juristic content. But, leaving the abstract moral sphere and giving to the term a juristic content, a right is well defined as a capacity residing in one man of controlling with the assent and assistance of the state the actions of others. That is what they said to you when they were giving it to you in a concrete sense, and they were talking about the right and demand inherent in one person that is incident upon another. That means the state assists and gives assent and assistance to some one man somewhere to have the control of the actions of others. So when you go in there talking about your rights, you are not the individual that the state is assisting in the controlling of someone else. The state is helping one man somewhere, and you are not that one, to control over you and other people coming into the courtroom. The right is inherent in that one individual, and I submit to you it's probably the Pope of Rome, because most of these courts are church courts. But that's a whole other story also. So a lot of people are like, I have my rights. I have the right to travel. And when you go in there talking about rights, people that know their words and their juristic meaning are practically laughing in your face up under their breath, because you're standing there looking like a clown talking about you have your rights and my right, and it's my right and you're violating my rights, and I have the right to travel. Well, the word travel, let's look in a regular dictionary for travel, T-A-R-V like Victor E-L. When you get into a regular dictionary, you will find, and if I'm going too fast, please let me know. I can slow down a little bit. When you get into travel in a regular dictionary and you get into the brackets, you find that the word travel means, no, Shayla, you cannot have that. I already told you what you could have. Travel means travail. Well, the word travail, spelled T-R-A-V like Victor, A-I-L, means to work, labor, and toil. So you have the right to travail, or someone is being assisted by the state, and the state is giving assent to someone to lord over you and make you labor, work, and toil. And when you have the right to travel, that is what you're saying, that you have the right to travail. Does anybody see this? Because I didn't open up my dictionary. There's a lot of stuff I know. But you guys are like the quietest group of people I've done a show with. So let me open up the dictionary, because a lot of this stuff I go off the top of my head. I don't always quote it verbatim, but I know the general gist of what a lot of words means. I don't know every single word and every single meaning about every single thing, so I'm not going to argue with anyone about, well, do you know what this means? Well, do you know what that means? Prove it. You prove it. You know, you do your due diligence. You tell me. But let me turn to travel in the regular dictionary. It got the travail first. Travel. In the brackets of my, it's on page 1,398 of my Random House College Dictionary. On the right-hand column, about approximately midway down the page, travel has lots of entries, but I jump right down to the brackets, where it says in the brackets under travel that it's all about travailing. It says it's from the New English. Travel. Let me get a magnifying glass, because now things are getting a little fuzzy on me here. It's from the Middle English. T-R-A-V like Victor, A-I-L-L-E-N. And the E-N are in parentheses because that can be removed or added there, and the meaning is still the same. Middle English travelin means to journey. And it is a special use of travail. Well, just further up the page, three entries before travel, four entries before, travail says painfully difficult or burdensome work, toil, pain, anguish, suffering, etc., resulting from mental or physical hardship, the labor and pain of childbirth, to suffer the pangs of childbirth, be in labor, archaic, to toil or exert oneself, and it's from the Middle English, travelin, which is the same thing that they said about the word travel. So when you have the right to travel, and it goes on in the brackets to say, Old French, travailler, to torment. Vulgar Latin, trapaliare, to torture. From Lower Latin, trapalium, torture chamber, literally instrument of torture made with three stakes. And it says, see, try, and the word pale, entry number three for the word pale. And the synonyms for this word are labor, work, moil, torment, agony. Now, again, we're going to go right back to where we started off when we started talking about money, how you've never been paid any money, how you are on a plantation working for free. You think you're getting somewhere. You think you have something. You think you're doing something, and you're really being tormented and tortured, and you're suffering for free, and you're being dragged into the church courts and having what you think is money and or revenue extracted from you even further to be traded out in commerce. Because when you walk into a courtroom, you yourself walk in there, a living flesh and bone breathing being. You are a fact that occurred in the world of the real. You are a real thing that occurred when your mom gave birth to you or produced you from her womb, and you entered this planet or re-entered through the portal or gateway of your mom's womb or her canal. Once you came into this world, that was a real thing that occurred in the realm of fact. That which is fact is in total opposition to that which is law. Now, it is a fact that you arrived. After that fact, something else occurred. After your arrival in the real, something took place where a birth certificate was created, and this is kind of like a document that is kind of like a port description. People have birth certificates, cars have manufacturer certificates of origin, and things of this nature that describe the thing created. Well, here you are, real. This birth certificate that comes after the fact is created on paper. The creation of it establishes a new legal corporate fiction entity that exists in the world of commerce. It is something that you yourself, the living flesh and bone that occurred in fact and reality, can utilize to your advantage and be the beneficiary of it, and it is something that the corporate system can utilize to their advantage and be the beneficiary of it, and that's fine as long as the corporate fiction entities in commerce do not utilize it to their advantage, which results in it being utilized to your detriment. So when you yourself arrive, there is an entity that is created after that fact of your real arrival. That thing has a name that is so similar to yours, it looks like yours for all intents and purposes. When it is uttered, it sounds like yours for all intents and purposes. However, you yourself, the living flesh and bone thing that exists in the real, are completely separate, distinct, and totally different from that thing that was created on paper only after the fact. And it is different from you in very technical form, which you can find out. Let me see if I can find it very quickly. I should have pulled it in your Styles manuals. Let me just think and see if I can find the Styles manual. You have your California Styles manuals, Arizona Styles manuals, United States Style manuals. Now, in these style manuals, and I'm still looking for mine because I don't. Okay, what is this? This is a government printing office style manual here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is my California one or is an old United. Is an old United States. Where's my California one? Because it's a lot more up-to-date.
And you said Styles Manual?
S-T-Y-L-E. Like, oh, man, that cat has real style. I love the way he dresses. He's got style and class and finesse style.
Yes.
One of the definitions of the term style is name. Whenever you have a thing called a name is only a Christian appellation. And when you look up the word name in a regular dictionary, that is what you should find if your dictionary is any good, that the word name means a Christian appellation. That's great if you are a Christian. If you are not a Christian, you really don't have a name, but the corporate fiction entity that came to be after the fact of your arrival does have a Christian name because it exists in commerce for the church. I'm on the phone. Go somewhere else. Go on. Thank you. Let me just see. Now, this is a United States government printing. I am on the phone, and I told you I would be. Okay, this is a United States government printing office style manual from January 1967. I have something newer from California, which I wish I could figure out where that is. But let me see if I can find, and I hope it's in this one. If I had known I was going to go into this, and the only reason I got into this stuff, as I said before, is because of how the show began when I called.
Yes.
I would really prefer to use the California one because I think I have it marked out and highlighted. And dog-eared with all of my findings and things like that. Mm-hmm. This one may not, so I may not be able to pull from it. Let me see if I can use the index to get there quickly. Name. Let me just look and see if it has it. IDF. JKLM in Nation, Nature. Why is name not here? I believe it's in the California. Let me look again. Let me look somewhere else. I have a bunch of books, some in boxes, some out of boxes. And because I'm bringing this up, I know there are a bunch of poo-pooers and naysayers that like to call me a liar all the time. So I try to, whenever I can, pull the resources, you know, to get them off my back. So they don't want to do their own due diligence. They just want to criticize me and my findings. California won't be so much better. It's newer.
I get that. I get that from people a lot, too, when I talk to them. They'll, you know, question me and tell me I'm crazy, and then they finally do go look it up, and they figure, oh, you were right, you know. But
exactly.
I never get an apology.
Precisely. I get that often
mm-hmm.
as well. I really do.
Right.
You know, I hope that thing may be still in a box somewhere, the California Styles Manual. But let me go from memory on it, because this book, you know what, let me look in capitalization. It might be there, because name is not even entered here. So let me look in capitalization, address, salutation, signatures, articles, common nouns, page 23 and 24, firm name. Let me just see if this has anything in it that will help to clarify this point. If it won't, I'll clarify it from memory here.
Okay.
And if you have a question or a comment while I'm looking, feel free. Name, definite articles and proper name, particles and names of persons, anglicized names. Interesting that names is in here, but they don't talk about it. I mean, they don't have it in the freaking index. Proper name. Proper names are capitalized. Now, they're showing only the first letter. Now, this is, like I said, the United States Government Printing Office Style Manual from January 1957 on page 23. And you can get
mm-hmm.
something a lot more up-to-date that'll probably be a little more concise, which I have something that's more concise, if I could just figure out what blaze it is. But it says, it is impossible to give rules that will cover every conceivable problem in capitalization. But by considering the purpose to be served and the underlying principles, it is possible to attain a considerable degree of uniformity. The list of approved forms given on page 33 to 59 will serve as a guide. Manifestly, such a list cannot be complete. The correct usage with respect to any term not included can be determined by analogy or by application of the rules. Now, it says proper names are capitalized, and it shows only the first letter being capitalized. Derivatives of proper names, I don't think we need to know about this, because I'm no longer such names. I'm trying to go through this quicker. Adjective essential proper name is capitalized. The common noun or adjective forming an essential part of a proper name is capitalized. The common noun used alone as a substitute for the name of a place or thing is not capitalized. That California Styles Manual breaks it down. I have a United States Styles Manual that's newer than this one that breaks it down a little better. A common noun used alone as a well-known short form of a specific proper name is capitalized. The point that I'm trying to make here is that I don't see is they define in here that a capitalization is all about the first letter only. But, and however, when you begin to look at a lot of your corporate instruments that move through commerce, like your the driver's license that you carry, the bank debit cards that you carry, the personal checks that you carry, your mortgage deeds and things like this that you have, the utility bills and cell phone bills that come in the mail, the vast form of the things that you acquire are capitalized all the way across in their entirety.
Mm-hmm.
And when you inquire about it, they'll tell you, oh, well, the computer does it that way. The computer can't do it in upper and lower case. And you got to wonder, well, what the hell kind of computer are you guys utilizing that can't do upper and lower case letters? Because it's interesting that you can send the so-called name and address in all caps, but the body of the letter is, if you want to write me a correspondence like a IRS threat for payment or something to this effect, the body of the letter is done in upper and lower case, so why can't the computer do everything the way it should be done? Because if you go to school and you learn your so-called English, when you're in grammar school, middle school, even college, and you write a paper and the teacher tells you, I'm grading on everything, punctuation, capitalization, articles, pronouns, the proper use of everything, and then a paragraph, I'm grading on everything. If you write a thesis or a paper for your English instructor that is grading on everything,
mm-hmm.
and you write your so-called name and every single letter in it is capitalized, and your so-called address, and every single thing in there is capitalized, guess what you're going to get back? A paper with red marks all over it. Wrong, wrong,
yeah.
wrong, wrong. But everything that they do in the commercial world has everybody done in this capitalization. What it is a technical form of a name or a term that one thinks is them. You yourself think it is you. And it is not. It has specific technical differences and technical distinctions that clearly delineate it from you yourself. It came to be after your arrival. It exists only on paper. It is moved through commerce and trade, which is fine. Move it all you want. Just don't throw me under the bus while you're doing it. So at the end of the day, when you yourself walk into a church court forum where the state is assisting and giving assent to some one man to control you and your actions and the outcome of your day-to-day existence, you yourself walk in there and they start talking to you yourself about you. Turn in your dictionary, regular dictionary, to the word Y-O-U. And I have a feeling I'm putting people to sleep because this seems like a monologue.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening.
No, I'm just sitting absorbing and doing research as you talk. So I'm,
yes.
I don't have all the phone lines up, but I see Sister Nagonia's in there. I put her on. Sister Nagonia, you are hot. You have a hot mic there.
Greetings, Ron. Antoinette.
Greetings,
and
dear. How are you?
Sister Yaffa Bay.
Greetings. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
Oh, good.
Do you have your dictionary
now? Okay, you
now? Said you. Y-O-U. What a lot of people are not aware of is the fact that the word Y-O-U is a plural term. Y-O-U is the plural form of the word Y-E. It is a plural form of ye. And ye is the plural form of thou. Okay? Now, I'm going to read Y-O-U out of the 1828 dictionary for you, yourselves, to help you yourselves comprehend what I, myself, am attempting to clarify for you yourselves. Y-O-U, now the 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language by Noah Webster is a reprint of a book that was done in two volumes when it originally came out. This is the same Webster that we talk about, Webster's Dictionary, same cat. When it originally came out, it was a two-volume book. Someone reprinted it and put it all in one bounded form. This is the only dictionary that you are going to get. Webster's from the 1800s is going to give you the real definition of American even. But you can find this book brand new for approximately $55 at christianbook.com. And that is book singular with no S, christianbook.com. Their phone number is 1-800-CHRISTIAN. You can buy this book, $55 brand new. It is a green-bound book with a golden eagle on the cover. Now, this book, the pages are not numbered until you get to the letter Z. Letter Z says volume 2, 116, and I'm across from that page, which might be 115. Don't quote me on that because none of these pages have, well, I guess some of them do. Yeah, some of them do. Not many of them. Most of them are not numbered. But YOU says this in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. You, pronoun, is from the Saxon, and let me get my magnifying glass. It's from the Saxon E-O-W-I-U. And I-U-C-H. And it's from the German E-U-C-H. And it's from the Aramaic, or it might be Arminian, A-R-M. I don't know if that's Aramaic or Arminian. C-H-U-Y. And from the Deutsch, G-U or Y-U. And it's Thou, T-H-O-U. And it says, you have been considered as in the plural only. Let me read it again. You have been considered as in the plural only, and is so treated in the Saxon grammar. Now, however, keep this in mind. It goes further to say, but from the Belgic dialect, it appears to be in the singular as well as the plural. And our universal popular usage in applying it to a single person with a verb in the singular number is correct. So if you utilize the term you and you utilize a verb in the singular number with it, then it is correct. However, that is not the case. It goes on further. Listen carefully. Yourself is in the singular number. So, what they are saying, for those that don't comprehend what I just said, anytime, when you yourself are talking to your friends and your circular comrades, the people you're hanging out with, then you can speak the way you speak, unless you want to practice getting into the habit of speaking the safest way possible, so that when you're dragged under the bus and you get nervous, you're so accustomed to speaking appropriately, you don't make the mistake of saying things that you shouldn't say. What they are saying to you is this. The term Y-O-U is always, 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 always in the plural only, unless someone qualifies that word by adding the caveat term yourself. If they do not, did I get dropped? I think I got dropped. Or somebody ringing my phone. Are we still on air?
No, you're still on air. You're still good.
Okay, well, somebody
yep,
else
good.
Is calling me. They can just keep ringing. I thought I had gotten dropped and one of you were calling in to go, hey, you're not on air. Okay, so I will ignore this caller and call them later. If someone particularly in a juristic or jurisprudence, so-called lawful, legal, or whatever they want to call forum, starts talking to you yourself about you, they are under the presumption, and remember, presumptions are rebuttable. It is what is assumed and presumed to be a fact of matter unless it is rebutted at some point, either verbally or in writing. So go on, Sarah, stop it. When they start addressing you yourself, talking about you, so, Mr. So-and-so, we see you're here today because you have a ticket for running over a stop sign, and the stop sign is over here with his crutches and wheelchair because you ran it over, and that is the injured party or the, go on, little girl, from where? Oh, that is the injured party or the corpus delicti, the stop sign you ran, is here lodging a formal complaint against you for running it. is your name so-and-so-and-so-and-so? Yes, sir. Do you live at such so-and-so? Is that your correct address, sir? Yes, sir. Well, you just screwed yourself. Yes, 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 and you're wrong. Now, granted, they may know what they're doing, and they may only be doing what they have been trained to do without having a clue what's really going on behind what they are doing. What they are saying is, I am looking at this piece of paper, and this name on this piece of paper, in its all capital format, and it is a U.S. citizen because it is a corporate fiction. All corporate fictions and corporations in the United States are U.S. citizens. The city of Los Angeles is a U.S. citizen. The Los Angeles School District is a U.S. citizen. Walmart is a U.S. citizen. The county of Los Angeles is a U.S. citizen. Los Angeles County is not a U.S. citizen, and no state is a U.S. citizen. However, the entity that was created after your arrival, that was created on a piece of paper, contractual, that caused a trust to be created, which is a legal entity, a legal person that can sue and be sued, because thanks to the 14th Amendment, corporations are now legal persons that can sue and be sued, because you yourself have walked in there and you yourself do not know that there is a distinct technical difference that delineates you yourself from the entity on paper. You walk in there, you yourself walk in there thinking that they are talking to you yourself when they are talking to you. When they start talking about, and how do you plead, James Jones, how do you plead? I don't challenge jurisdiction, and I don't want to enter a plea, and I'm standing silent and mute. Well, I'll enter a plea for you. Not you yourself, but you. You yourself walk in there, one person. The entity that exists on paper because it came into existence after your arrival because of the birth certificate is corporate, is a U.S. citizen, a corporation. And you have the right to utilize it to your advantage and be the beneficiary of it, but you want to stop them from utilizing it to your detriment. Now, when they ask you yourself, how do you plead? Well, you who? And I'm not telling you what to say. I'm not saying go in there and say any of this stuff. Because if you go in there and do it and it blows up in your face, you're going to be mad at me. I'm saying get very, very
I do it all the time.
Get very, very
I do it all the time.
Do what all the time? Go in there delineating between you and you yourself?
When I walk in the door of the courthouse, it's like I parted the Red Sea. They run in the doors. They don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to them anyway. I have nothing to say. But when it comes to court time, it's fun time. I call it a carnival. Because the first thing when a judge tells me that, since you're not pleading and you're defining words and all this, blah, blah, trying to make me look like an idiot, even though I got him. I know when he gets upset, I know I got him. And what I do when they say, well, and this is what gets the judge mad every time. The judge will say, well, I'll enter a not guilty plea for you. You is a good word. You're exactly right on that. But what I do, I say, well, I object, my honor, because if you're going to enter a plea for me, that means you're practicing law from the bench, which is against the Constitution, which exists the fact of treason, which punishment is due by hanging by the town square. So where are we going with this? I've learned to threaten their so-called money, the artificial thing. I defend it to them. Everything I say to him, every word I utter out of my mouth, I'm giving a definition to it. And usually I have a lot of paperwork ready to go to give it to him in paper. Or I'll pre-send it to a prosecutor ahead of time, letting them know. I'll ask them to define every word they say. Every word they say. I have your court reporter record, bring it back. What does it mean? What does this mean? Whatever word they say. But that it's a trickery game. It is. It's a whole different language. And I learned the language of them, so that's where the definitions come into my play. I love it. Because a lot of them, young prosecutors, assistant prosecutors, ain't got a clue of this. They're trained to do one thing. You're on one track, and when you knock them off the track, they can't answer the question, they're worthless. And I pound them down, ready to go. It's a criminal cartel. It's nothing but a business. That's what they're running. It's like a legal mall, I call them. Courthouses are legal malls. You got a circuit clerk, you got your tax collector, you got all these different companies in there. And so I call it the legal strip malls. And I love going there.
Now you have an additional piece of ammunition you can you yourself can utilize, even in the state of Georgia. And I submit perhaps other states have similar statutory regulations written up somewhere. In their constitution somewhere, or in their statutes, they clearly acknowledge that there are two different types of persons. There are legal corporate fiction persons, and there are living flesh and blood natural beings. So when you yourself walk in there, the natural being, and they start adjudicating a matter about you, most people are not aware that the word is a plural word, and they are addressing more than one entity when you yourself walk in there. But the average person, not knowing that you is a plural term, not knowing that the entity on paper is a person that exists in the corporate world of commerce, and you yourself, as natural flesh and bone, do not exist in the world of commerce. However, you utilize pieces of paper to your advantage to navigate through the world because of commerce. The average individual walks in there, and because of their lack of knowledge, they say things that they should not say or do not say things that they should say, and they wind up becoming joindered in a merger, and they create a new thing, a third thing. And that is the thing that moves through commerce. That's why when you yourself receive some sort of arrest, a citation, and you yourself do not come into the courtroom about the matter, what is going on, a lot of people don't know, what's really occurring is they have this paper that has to be moved. And it's just it's in the way, and it cannot be moved until the living flesh and bone walks in there and either gets it moved through commerce or moved into a trash or file cabinet somewhere. So when you yourself do not show up, they have to put out a warrant for your arrest. It's like somebody go find that fool and bring them in here so we can close this matter and get this paper out the way so we can go so we can get on to what's next. That's
send the blind
what it
thugs out there.
So if you,
the blind thug.
You yourself comprehend, now let me look at the word yourself in the same dictionary. I'm hoping that some of you yourselves have seen the definition of you. Now listen to the definition of yourself in the 1828 dictionary, and like I said, you can get this brand new for $55, brand new. Yourself, pronoun plural, yourselves, your and self. Yourself, a word added to you, listen very carefully, to express distinction emphatically between you and other persons. Let me say it again. Yourself, entry number one, a word added to you to express distinction emphatically between you and other persons. The entity that exists on paper is a person. It is not a natural flesh and bone person, but it is a person nonetheless. It is a person that can sue and be sued. It is a legal corporate fiction individual person entity that does exist in the world and realm of commerce. And when you yourself walk in and do not distinguish between you yourself and you, the other person that for all intents and purposes looks like you yourself on paper, sounds like you yourself when uttered, but it and you are distinctly different and you are not one and the same with the corporate entity. But too many people walk in there not knowing that and become merged with the entity. And let me grab, how much time we have? We're almost out of time, huh?
No, we have,
okay, let me grab my black glove.
For overtime, we have 25 minutes of air time left, and then we have the hour overtime.
Oh, okay. Let me get into merger, M-E-R-G-E-R. Shayla, what do you want? I'm on the phone.
Before you start, can I just, folks, we're going to go into overtime. We have 25 minutes left, So within that 25 minutes, could you please call in 718-508-9813. Again, that number is 718-508-9813. And I will also put the number in the chat room. If you decide that you have a question or a comment for Dr. Yaffa Bey, then, you know, we'll unmute you long enough to state your question or comment, and then we'll put you back on mute. Everyone will not be on at one time. It's just long enough to ask your question or your comment, and then you'll be muted back. Okay, I'm sorry, Yaffa. Please continue.
Well, that's okay.
I have a question from the. I have a question from the chat room for you. They would like to know if you are a real doctor.
Yes. Not medical. Spiritual, yes. I have a spiritual doctorate. I am not a medical doctor. But what do you mean by real doctor? There are a lot of Dr. Bill Cosby, the actor, is a real doctor, but not medical. What do you mean by that?
Okay, now you're saying no, don't ask her that. Well, I've already asked her, so the question's already out there, Beasley.
I've answered it.
Yeah. Oh, there's your answer. Well, when you finish with that, could you get into how the English language came about, period? You know, how it first started out. I mean, I know you're on the roll with this, and I don't mean to take you off of this. But
I can't recall the book.
I remember it had to do with equivocal language and the spell of grammar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and with grammar. I'm going through my old notes.
Yes, English is equivocal, equivocal, which means equal voice. So when you say a certain term in this thing called English, it can mean one thing or it could equally mean another thing. Just like when you walk into a courtroom and they call out Yaffa Bey, they could be referring to one person or they could be equally referring to a totally different person. And I have to be aware that there's a distinction between the two persons whose so-called name sounds the same when uttered and appears the same on paper other than some technical differences. But way back in the day, the so-called German or Deutsch, some people say, oh, the Dutch are not the German. Well, Dutch is Deutsch. Dutch means Deutsch. And when you look in the dictionary, you'll find that. And one of my listeners that is militarily based in Deutschland had to remind me, well, Dutch is Deutsch. But yeah, you're right, I forgot about that. When they were here, because remember, when people came into the Americas and found people already here, the remnant seed of those found here have been told that they were brought here on ships of slaves, but that's not accurate, and, you know, that's a whole other story, a whole other show.
You're right.
In order to subdue and subjugate the people, determinations had to be made about what language was going to be utilized to impose on the people that were found here in order to run this show. Now, remember, some of everybody showed up here, okay? You had, I think, Russia had San Francisco and a great part of California. I think the French had Louisiana and Canada. I think the Spanish had gotten a hold of South America. And then I think the English came along later and got a lot of what the French had as far as the so-called Louisiana or the United States and Canada. Like, a lot of people don't know that Florida, also known as the land of flowers, initially the term Florida encompassed almost the entire United States. The term Florida included, Florida went all the way down to the so-called Mexican border. It went up into Canada, and it went from the ocean on the East Coast all the way into Arizona. All of that was considered Florida or the land of flowers. And then they started cutting it up from there. So now you see the little leg. But different so-called ethnic groups of people came and basically usurped and claimed various parts of the country as if no one was already here, probably because the people here weren't into the commercial games that they were into. Everything was free, and you're free to roam and free to eat and free to move and free to go on your way and help yourself to what you need and take what you need, and that is all. People are like, oh, shoot, everything is free, free, free. and it became a free for all and a run, a grab for the materials and wealth of the land. So the Deutsch or Dutch, or most commonly known as German, were trying to make a determination as to whether or not they were going to force German, the German language, on the people that were subjugated here, or were they going to come up with this new thing called English. And I guess they determined that their German language was too good for the people they found here, and they didn't want them to utilize that, so let's come up with something else. And this thing they call English is basically a conglomeration of some of everything. You throw a bunch of crap at the wall, and whatever the hell stuck was English. So, you know, there was a book on that, and I can't recall it, but this was something that took place, from my recollection, in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do your due diligence, see what you can find on that. Now let's get into this term merger. I was saying
okay.
that when you yourself walk into the courtroom,
mm-hmm.
and they start talking to you. Are you so-and-so? Yes, Your Honor. Is your address such, such, such? And an address is a problem. Or they'll ask you, do you reside at so-and-so-and-so? And residing is a problem. And you'll be like, yes. And all of these are things that you're saying that are setting you up to be mulled over like a bowling alley pin. And the ball is coming down the pike as you go. And then they'll ask you things like, you yourself, how do you play? And then you start talking, and you don't make distinctions to separate you yourself from you. And that's where the problem lies. And because you do not make emphatic distinctions between you yourself, the singular, living natural flesh and bone, and you, which could be the corporate fiction entity, you yourself, or the thing they're trying to create, which is the third thing, because you'll be talking to two or three people when they start talking to you yourself, calling you yourself you. Merger in the Black's Law, 6th edition, page 510, last entry on the left column side of the page, says, and I'm not going to read every little thing in merger, but I'm going to read the key section. It is the fusion or absorption of one thing or right into another. Now, let me say it again. The fusion or absorption of one thing or right into another. So you yourself walk in there distinct and separate from the paper entity. It is a completely separate person from you yourself. But you yourself do not make absolute distinctions between you yourself and that thing, and based on your failure to do so, it is presumed that you yourself and you are all one and the same thing, and the merger takes place, and then they do the joinder and move right along. Goes on to say, generally spoken, of a case where one of the subjects is of less dignity or importance than the other. Hold on 1 second. Can you take it down several notches? I'm on the phone here. You yourself walk in there. You yourself, the flesh and bone being, are of more stature and dignity than the entity on paper. It is just a dead piece of paper thing that's not going anywhere, not moving anywhere, until you yourself delineate between you yourself and it, or fail to do so, and they put you and it together as one and create a third entity and start moving right along. So anyway, generally spoken of a case where one of the subjects is less dignity or importance than the other. Here, the less important ceases to have an independent existence. Now, in my opinion, you are the more important, but who knows, since it's a church court, as far as the church is concerned, the entity on paper may have the more important. And your failure to distinguish you from it, you yourself from it, may make you lose your position and cease to have your independent existence when they merger you into that other thing. I'm not sure if they're merging you into it or merging it into you, but either way, a merger of the two is occurring. Now, let me go to joinder in the Black's Law Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling I'm putting people to sleep. This is a quiet
president. We have someone that wants to ask you a question.
I hope it's a question on topic and not some other ridiculous. Not some other personal thing that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here.
If it's not on topic, then Drew, I'm forewarning you.
Okay,
if it's not on topic, then you're leaving. So
yes.
We'll let you ask the question, but it has to be on topic. And no sidebar things.
Yeah,
okay,
I really wish you wouldn't address me as if I'm a child, Antoinette. I'm almost as old as you
Drew,
are.
Okay, come on.
Now,
allow
me to speak. In the British courts, I'm watching a lot of YouTube videos of what they call a lay advisor who comes into court holding the birth certificate of the person that the court has summoned. And he places the birth certificate down at the desk. And when they call the name of the person, of the human being, well, they're not calling the name of the human being, but when they call the name, the human being stays behind the bar. The lay advisor stands in front of the bar, and when they get no response, the lay advisor will advise the court that the person, John James, is right here, and he'll point to the birth certificate. And he'll hand that to the court, and he'll say, the birth certificate, the person, is in court as demanded. Have you heard of that? Have you seen any of this yet?
No, I'm not really familiar with the British courts and how they do things, but if that's how they do things, it sounds to me like they're a lot more open about the game they're playing than the United States courts.
No, I think they're not. There's no openness. This is somebody who's doing, I heard David Windmiller. I've met just about everybody in this particular movement that's had an idea. Howard Griswold, David Windmiller, I know them all. But it all comes down to who's got the bullet in the gun ultimately, because the courts, I don't believe, are what they purport to be. So you can't move them in the way that you would move a proper Article III court.
That's true.
So the British are just learning what we've known for 30 years, what we've been discussing for 25, 30 years now. The British are just figuring this out. And I'm seeing in some of these videos where they are completely flummoxing, and these are usually three judges, so you've got a tribunal of three judges who come in. And he asked them, he says, are you standing on your oath? Are you here on your oath? And they go running out of the room. Because probably in England, just like here, they don't sign their oath of office. Because most of the people here don't.
Well,
but specifically, I'm asking. So think about this: if you were the all caps name summoned to court for whatever reason, would you show up?
Is that a question directed at me myself, or is that just a general statement?
Well, I was going to say it's a question directed to you, but now I'm not quite sure.
Okay, me myself. Knowing how to operate, as you said, they have the guns and the bullets, I probably would. But I know a little bit more about what's going on. And again, as you said, you can be in there as right as rain, dotting every I, crossing every T, and they can go, and so what? We have all the guns and the bullets and the badges and payoffs. Usually they don't, but it would not be a bad idea to forward, in case you find yourself in the scenario and you are not allowed to speak, or you are cut off when you attempt to speak or address these entities that are attempting to throw you under the bus, it would not be a bad idea to forward some sort of documentation or paperwork into the court case. You go in there with two copies, one copy for you yourself, one copy for the clerk. You have them stamp your copy with their date and time court stamp as evidence that it has been submitted, so it will be in the record, so that whoever's sitting on the bench or the bank, the bench means bank, whoever's seated on the bench will have what it is you're attempting to say in case you are barred from saying it, so that it does not go unsaid. and yes, you can come there, because sometimes, based on what the paperwork is that they have before them, they will look at it and not even want to really deal with you yourself, depending on what it is that you yourself are saying. Or if they do, they're going to hold you last so you don't start talking this crap in front of their sleeping sheeple and waking up the people that are
getting
sleep.
Well, that's usually the case when they know if you're tuned in or not.
Huh?
That is usually the case.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
trust me, I know.
You're always,
I'm a lonely man in court.
You always wait until they clear the courtroom.
Right.
They don't want anybody there, and they and they don't want anybody scratching their head.
Well, there's a lot of people in the movement, in this, as you call it, movement. However, if you take 1,000 people, maybe one or two of those are in the movement. That's not enough to make a really big difference or a really big dent in this fraud and game that they're playing on the people. So as long as we're not waking up all the masses, it's probably not going to be a big deal. With you, yourself, and you walk in there with a proper clue and you file the proper paperwork, if you have a clerk or a magistrate, pro tem, commissioner, whatever judge seated on the bench or bank that realizes that you know this is a game, a lot of times they'll dismiss it and it's like next. Or they'll dismiss it and it's like, okay, we're adjourned for the day, let's go home. So they just don't want to go back. Not only do they not want the people in the courtroom that are there to be fleeced to become aware of everything you're talking about, they don't want their bailiffs to become aware of it. They don't want the sheriff or the law enforcement agent call the cop that gave you the ticket sitting there as a witness against you to become aware of it. They don't want, you know, the clerks or whoever else is in there. They don't want these people to become aware of what you're talking about. So they need to get you out of there as quickly as possible. If you know what you're talking about, they want you out of there, is the general case. But what they're doing in Britain, or in the British courts, it sounds to me like, you know, like you said, they're not being straightforward with it. I think if they're putting the birth certificate on the table and saying, yes, this person is here, I think you can't be any more straightforward than that. They're letting it be known that this entity that exists only on paper is a legal person. It is a corporate person, fiction entity, and a citizen over here and subject of the crown over there. Most of the people coming in that are being fleeced have no clue that there is a distinct difference between them as the flesh and bone and that thing. And even when they come in with the, yeah, I'm the living man, I'm the natural man, the flesh and bone, they know you still aren't clear, because usually people have a tendency to come into these forums and they are parroting what they have seen on YouTube from the David Lynn Millers or the who or the Carl, you know, the Carl Millers or the whoever, Mark Stevens or whoever's out here telling people how to fight these matters. People are coming in there, even with the Tyree Faye, they're parroting what they have heard without really being clear on what they're saying or why. Oh, man, that sounds good. I'm next going to go to court. I'm going to use that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to say that. But they are going through training now for people like those of your listeners that are getting a clue. Mm-hmm. They're attempting to train judges and law enforcement agents on how to weed and see through these people that are parrots, repeating what they heard and what they saw, but not knowing why. They're claiming things and not knowing why they're claiming them. They're saying things and not knowing why they're saying them. And they're talking about things and not knowing what they're talking about because they're repeating what they heard, or they're coming in and filing documents into the court that they purchased from someone for $500 or $1,500 or $5,000, and they are becoming aware of the fact that people have a clue that something is wrong, but they don't have a real finger on the pulse. So they're weeding through those that are just coming into the knowledge, and they're playing with it to see what they can figure out. But they can tell who knows and who doesn't know, because those that don't know are just repeaters. Oh, I heard this on Blog Talk. I'm going to say this. This sounds good. But it's like, did you get your dictionary out and look this stuff up? Did you decode what this is saying? Did you, when you're quoting these laws and these cases and you're quoting the Magna Carta, have you read it? You're quoting the Constitution. Did you look at it? Most people haven't looked at stuff. They're just repeating what someone said, printing out what's on the internet, and off they go, running like a crazy person, half cocked. And the people that have the guns can cock back. Here you are coming half cocked, and they pull out their guns and go click, click, and they're cocking back at you. It's like, you don't even know what you're talking about. So off into the jail you go, pay the fine, who's next? They're getting more adept. Like you said, the British are just getting wind of this. I'm assuming you mean the people. The United States is just getting wind of this, and I'm saying the people. And not enough of the people are clear enough in it. So all I always tell my listeners, don't go rescind anything. Don't cancel anything. Don't terminate anything. Don't revoke anything. Don't do anything. Don't go change anything. Don't resign from anything. Just keep gathering data, acquire more information, do your due diligence. Don't believe me or anyone else. Assume that I am lying to you. Assume that I am an agent and that it is in my interest to derail and mislead you. Assume that and do your own due diligence to validate and verify for yourself whether or not what I am saying is true and accurate or not. And even if it is it true for you? Because what works for me may not be what works for you. Like I try to tell melanin rich people, what works for patriots is not necessarily going to work for you as a so-called African-American Negro. And what works for so-called Moors may not work for so-called Europeans. So you have to go and weed through this stuff with a fine-tooth comb and make sure you know what it is you're saying and why you are saying it, what you are claiming and why you are claiming it and what you mean by it. Only then can you stand on your 360-degree position, because even if you are wrong as two left shoes, if you have done your due diligence and you have seen things for yourself and you have proven things for yourself and validated them for yourself, like I'm saying, pull out your dictionary, because I can sit here. I don't have to look through these dictionaries and tell people what I'm talking. I know this stuff. I don't know everything, but I know some of this stuff. And I'm saying get your dictionary so you can see what I'm saying and why, so you can follow where I'm getting it from, so you don't think I made it up, because people assume that I'm a liar and I'm making it up and I'm a racist and I hate men and I hate white people and I hate this and I hate black people. I've heard it all. I'm an agent. But at the end of the day, when you yourself are as clear as you can be about it, even if you are completely wrong, guess what? You have looked it up, verified for yourself, proven for yourself, and come to your own belief system. And it is difficult to get someone off of a belief once they are in it. You can pass a lie detector test with your misinformed ass if you are fairly convinced about what it is you're talking about. That's not something that you can be pushed off of when you have convinced yourself of what it is you're saying to someone else. You follow what I'm saying? Oh, God, I think I'm off air again. I think I got kicked off. Oh, no, I'm still on. I don't hear anyone. Is everybody there or what?
Yeah, we can still hear you, Yaffa.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, anyway. Hopefully that helps him with what he's asking me. But, you know, Yaffa's not the scholar of anything. I'll tell anybody quick. I'm not a scholar. I can get you clear, however, so that when you listen to the scholars, you can keep up with what they're saying and they are not talking over your head.
The host and hostess are having some technical difficulties, and the gentleman you were speaking with is now muted. He wanted to continue conversation, but they're working on it.
Oh, okay. Am I muted? Because if I'm not muted, you know, dead air is the death of a radio show.
We can hear you.
Joinder. Okay,
well, I
let
can
me
hear
get
you.
Into joinder while they attempt to do the technical difficulty, so people are not listening to so much silence. This is so much silence. I'm just not accustomed to this much quiet when I talk. Anyway, I'm in Black Law Dictionary on page 836, looking at the word joinder, which is approximately the middle of the page in the left-hand column, Black Law 6th edition. joinder. A joinder is a joining or coupling together, uniting two or more constituents or elements in one. Uniting with another person, remember, the birth certificate person is a person. It is a legal corporate fiction entity, can sue and be sued person, but it and you are distinctly different, okay? The uniting with another person in some legal step or proceeding, the union or concurrence. So when you yourself walk in, like here it goes on, the consent to an agreement or document by a party who has an interest in the subject matter of the agreement or document, but who is not himself. See, now they know how to say you yourself, her herself, him himself. They know how to say it. They just don't. So they're attempting to get you to not know any better and to join them. There's not enough of us out here that have a clue to be a real threat to this system yet. Stop it, Shayla. It goes on to say, but who is not himself an active party to the agreement or document. Now, in that instance, it sounds to me like the being walking in their natural blood form, is not yet a party to this paper game that's being played. And unless and until they fail to distinguish themselves as distinctly different from that thing, they will be joindered and mergered, and that third entity that is created by joining the natural flesh and bone with the legal corporate person who looks and sounds a lot.
Hello? Yes.
Can you hear me? We just lost her.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She's lost the connection. We're in overtime.
Okay, well, let me call her back.
Okay.
Okay.
Her phone just quit. Mine quit for a minute. I got off, knocked off the server for a minute, so I don't know what happened.
Okay. Ron.
Yes, ma'am.
Give me her number in private.
Okay. I don't have it.
I gave it to you earlier.
I know, but I didn't write it all down. I just got the area code.
Yeah. See, and I'd have to hang up from the phone. Oh, boy. Because she's not going to be able to get back in. Okay.
Sister Nagonia?
Sure.
Do you have her number? Can you call her?
No, but Antoinette, I can call you and you can give it to me and then I can piggyback her in.
Oh, it's not that. See, I'm on my house phone.
Uh-oh.
And it's on my house phone.
Okay.
Let me see. I know. Hold on. Let me see what I can do. No.
Please stand by. We are experiencing technical difficulty.
Oh, that's you.
That's me.
Okay, Ron. Okay, Sister Gonya, you're in the chat room, right?
Yes, dear.
You're getting ready to give it to you.
Okay.
Hold on for 1 second. Sister Gonya?
Yes, I see it.
I'm sorry, y'all, for the numbers bouncing in your ears. I'm really sorry. Forgive me. But there you go. Thank you, Sister Gonya.
You're welcome. Getting ready to give her a call.
Thank you. And her call must have dropped. Oh, boy.
I wonder if it's phone problems or BTR is having issues.
I don't know. But they do drop.
Oh, yeah. Could be a dead battery. Could have been BTR's server trying to kick back up. So it kept trying to reconnect me. It kept running, putting numbers and counters in there. So I'm just, shit, man.
Well, I hope y'all are enjoying the information that's coming out so far.
Antoinette?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's worth it.
I got her answering service, so I'm going to try once again. I left her a message explaining what's going on, so I'll try once again.
Okay, and she's probably trying to call back in.
Yeah, I let her know she can't get back in because we're on overtime.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, right. But we could piggyback her in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Technology, don't you love it? This new phone I got, man, wow.
I know, you need to go back to your old phone.
I'm here to tell you, this thing, wow. I've been calling people I didn't mean to call. You know?
Yeah, I told you, you called me yesterday afternoon, I didn't hear anything.
I don't remember. I wasn't there. my corporate fiction was, though, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the phone, I'm sure it's all calculated. So
yes,
really,
but Jill, it was not meant to keep you on mute forever. We were having technical issues on, so we just had to.
I lost control of the board. It froze up. Couldn't do nothing.
And I didn't have time to go in and save it.
Yeah, it went to the last minute to kick bullshit around.
Yeah,
but yeah, the show.
So,
I'm really enjoying this show. This is really.
I am
cool,
too.
Man. Hmm.
So, Jill, you will be put back on. Please don't take it as anything personal because it was not aimed to be a personal attack or anything against you. Okay, good. I'm glad you understand. Thank you. Good. You do,
Thank you, everyone, for your patience. I got kicked off and tried to call back several times or three times, and each time it said, Blog Talk Radio, there is no show scheduled for the next 24 hours. I said, oh, I guess that's it. I guess we all got kicked off is what I said.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm on the phone again. I told her I was done. I said, well, I'm done. I'm off the phone. Got into her party mode, and now I'm like, oh, I'm back on the phone again, so get out of the party mode.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I was saying. I have no clue where we were. I'm sorry. I think I was saying something like these individuals, there's not enough people out here to be any kind of threat to their game. So for those that have a clue, keep doing your due diligence, keep getting clearer, and keep fighting the fight. Now, if you don't know exactly what you're doing or what you're saying or why or what the fight is, don't fight the fight. Pay the ticket and just keep watching and listening when you go in there and observe what the game is that's being played and get a better clue on it. Whatever you do, do not get into any discourses back and forth with these people on the side of the road carrying guns and badges. Those people are crazy.
And
just as soon as look at you. And it doesn't matter your age, gender, or ethnicity. You know, everybody's on some whole, it's all black and white thing. I'll give a little trick up.
I am not per se a lawyer, nor am I giving legal advice. I'm a disclaimer. This is just a thought, but it works very well. When a judge threatens to send you to jail, here's what you say. I demand a notary public 24 hours a day. Because, and you don't want to know why.
Then
you start filing affidavits. You start filing motions. I don't care what it's for, because there's too many bricks in the wall. The table ain't set dead square.
Like
it should be in a concrete form.
Yeah, his
okay,
connection is messed up, but I told him just to still come on.
because I need to hear what he's saying.
Right, okay,
you ask for a notary public, and then when you get one or don't get one, what?
I start teaching classes in the jail and start making everybody file motions. Everybody files motions. It doesn't matter what you kind of paper you write it on. Any piece of paper will be fine. But you're going to have a notary there, and it's your well, so-called right, they say, to have that legal part is a notary. So it can be sent to the circuit. It can't deny you legal documents. They don't like that.
Okay, now, you know, the notaries usually charge approximately $2 to $10, depending on what so-called state you're in. Are you going to have that money when you're incarcerated?
To the jailhouse.
For that revenue?
Sheriff, because he's a corporation, not a corporate control, so he's liable for it. That's if you did not sign a medical waiver, fingerprint card, or receipt. If you don't sign nothing, he's liable for everything. Every bill goes to him.
Have you yourself ever asked them to get you a notary public, and they did?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Have you ever asked them to get you one, and they did not?
Yes. I've had them not deny me, too. And they had to write me a check at the end of it.
You said if you ask them and they do give you one, then you start filing motions. What if they do not give you one and throw you in jail? Now what?
Well, then they're in breach. They're in breach of their own contract. Right. Correct. Right.
Okay.
That's right. Exactly. Right. See, if they have control of the corporation, they're liable for the corporation. They have to sustain it. They have to be able to make it sustainable. And if they don't, then the Constitution, which is in the Constitution, it's treason. And they can be, one, sued, two, criminally charged. You know, because it would fall under the damage in the Constitution, under damage. So, and fraud, actually. They do a lot of fraud. Fraud is their main key element. You pick the fraud out of them, you got them quite a few times. But
they
are fraudulent.
They've also kidnapped you.
Well, absolutely. There's a lot. That's why I said
you
got to learn
to
jail and get paid for it.
You're somewhere in Hollywood, and they take you somewhere downtown. You have been kidnapped and transported.
Right.
Seriously.
Exactly. Right. But the best thing I tell people, don't answer questions. Don't ever answer questions at all. Don't sign up. Don't answer questions. You're much better because as complex as this, people can't understand some of these terms. People can't understand the terms, and I tell them the best thing you can do, being dumb as you are, is don't answer questions, and don't sign nothing. That's your best bet, best defense for a moment, but they'll work around you.
Now let me say this to piggyback on what you're saying, because there are people that are going to take what you said and try to run with it and get hurt with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the whole don't say anything. So if you have the right to remain silent and say absolutely zero, no comment.
Right.
Well, where are you then?
Right.
No comment. Nothing to say. But when you get in the whole don't sign anything,
right.
They are no, Shayla, I'm on the phone, stop singing. I mean, they are notorious for snatching you out of your car, throwing you in jail, and throwing your car in impound because you refuse to sign this thing. So I'm just saying to the people that are listening, don't just run out there with that piece of information and find yourself thrown under the bus.
Well, that's true in a way, but
signed and went on home.
Right. But what I've learned, but the problem is you're signing up a jurisdiction to them. So that's what you don't want to do. The thing is, they take your car, throw you in jail, so forth. When it's all said and done, one, you're going to get a new car out of it. You're going to get a big bunch of money from them. Because you have legal grounds to sue.
Most people don't know how.
But that's what, right, correct. And that's right, they don't. I've had attorneys prosecuted for theft by deception. You know, that's the way I play it.
The lawyers don't work for you. They work for the court. You're not going to get the lawyers to do that.
Right. They're an officer of the court. Right, but they don't have a way out either. You know, they don't have what is the word I'm looking for? My God, they're not immune. They don't have immunity. Okay, but saying is, they were committing an act of saying, "Well, I could win this case for $1,000," and then you go to court, and all of a sudden the trial comes up. They want to do a theft by deception. He lied to you, tell what he could do. He win the case, but when it came down to the end line of it, they took it out for a while. you wind up getting wind up by deception. It's an act of fraud. And I have proven that done many times against attorneys. But majority of people don't know what they're doing. That's why they hire a lawyer and think they're being protected, but they're actually really not. No, some lawyers are good, some are really bad. Most lawyers are bad. But if you're going to pay money for something, they're promising you something. Be like, somebody's saying they're going to build you a house for this amount of money, and they don't build the house. That's that part. It's deception. It's false. One of the false. Use their own stuff against them, like I like to do. Turn it around on them.
Well, that's the only thing that you can do, because you can't come in there, you know, reinventing the will. You have to find their laws and their codes and their rules and statutes and their dictionaries and the constitutional things that they're supposed to do. And as Todd Tyreek Bay would say, hold them to it.
Right, exactly.
Like
that's
you
right.
said earlier when hold you said it. You asked them, are you standing on your oath?
Mm-hmm.
You should know when you first go in, it's not a bad idea if you have not been dragged in there, going on about your way, let's say to some party, and you're dragged in there and you go into court from behind bars already. That's
mm-hmm.
one thing. But if you get an opportunity to walk yourself in there and to submit documentation prior to your arrival there, it's not a bad thing to go
right.
in there with the copy of the oath of office and the bond in
mm-hmm.
hand already. That information
right.
is something that should be available at the clerk of the county's office. They're supposed to have
yeah,
that
the county clerk's
file.
Office.
Right.
Well,
now,
with the
in
county
some places
clerk,
like Los Angeles, go ahead.
They charge me for labor. They charge me for labor to get a copy of the front of the oath. And I wasn't being argumentative. I was just letting the lady talk. I said, I'll pay it. I don't care what it costs. And she goes, what did you charge you for labor? I said, okay. And I walked out there and I said, man, you know what? Why would a public servant charge me labor and I pay their check as a taxpayer? What makes sense is public record, but they're charging me labor. Did that woman just commit an act of fraud? And I got a receipt for it. She gave me a written receipt for the labor. $1.
You know,
so I was being charged
they
labor
do better.
By
I don't think it's
office.
So much that. They do better, really, telling you they're charging you for the paper and ink, which is probably more what it is than not, because they don't really have to do any labor. In Los Angeles, California, it used to be very easy to go down to the county clerk recorder's office in
mm-hmm.
the vicinity of where, I forget what floor, and get an oath and
mm-hmm.
bond of the people in office handed to
mm-hmm.
you. You used to be able to even write to
right.
them and get it mailed out to you with a golden seal and everything on it. But they started
mm-hmm.
making it more complicated, and they run you around and tell you, oh, well, you have to go downstairs. The last time I went to court, they
right.
ran me all around the building. I'm like, you know, I used to be able to get this here. What's the problem? Oh, you have to go downstairs. Well, downstairs, they had lines, and you had to pay, and nobody would help you. It's like, oh, get on the
mm-hmm.
computer, find it yourself. And you kept looking, and you couldn't find it. You know what I finally did? I got frustrated. I said, screw it. I went upstairs to the elected clerk's office because
mm-hmm.
that is the person responsible for everybody else in the building. And
right.
they walked me down and got what I needed for me. Seriously. So these people at the windows, I think they're trying to shove the people around and make you get frustrated and go
right.
home after paying for parking and
right.
burning your gas. So
right.
you go find the person that's in office that was elected there, because they give a little bit more of a crap what the people that voted them in have to say, because you can have them voted
mm-hmm.
out. If you make, depending on who you are and who you know, you can make so much noise that they won't be in office.
My favorite is my representative. He lives in the same with, and that's me, you know. He's a neighbor. And a good guy. I mean, he talks to me. I'll call. I have an issue.
You're breaking up really bad, Ron.
Figures. I'm having an internet connection problem.
Yeah, I think Drew still has some questions or comments that he wanted to make.
Okay, I lost control. Sorry about the Drew. Hold on a minute. Gone here.
Oh, wow. Is that him? I can't hear him.
So,
that's
The question that I asked was, why do you need a notary in jail when you have a thumb? Because I was always under the understanding that a thumbprint was a common law notary.
Well, it is. I like them to pay for it. My whole plan that I do it, I want better money. I want to cost them money.
Okay.
That's what I do. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, thumbprint is good. Right thumbprint, perfect. Right.
The other,
that's it.
What if you don't have a right thumb? What if you're one-handed?
Well, then you have whatever you got. Just stamp it. Whatever, stamp it with something of your body. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's your mark.
The other thing is I have advice to give you. Two pieces. One is whenever you sign a signature, if you do sign it, you put a date of expiration on it. Second is that you never sign your signature. You get yourself a rubber stamp and you sign everything with a rubber stamp that is humanly possible.
Or you can print it.
Okay.
You can write the word CC.
Could write what?
CC. When you put the word CC over it, they can only pass it through Commerce once. Now, a lot of times if they see that on there, they don't want to take it. But a lot of lawyers, when they have things that they don't want moving through Commerce repeatedly, they will stamp them with the word SPECIE. CC.
Well, you could create a stamp that would have your... The reason why I'm saying that you put your stamp on there and not sign it is from a trial that I witnessed where the jury could not convict on anything that had a rubber stamp signature. They just would
not. I've never heard that.
They just would not convict. Well, they didn't know who stamped it. It wasn't clear. They couldn't prove that the person they were trying to convict was the one using the stamp. The signatures that he put down, they got him on. But anything with a rubber stamp, they didn't. They couldn't. They ignored.
Well, keep in mind, when you're dealing with the law enforcement idiot on the street, they might knock you upside the head about a rubber stamp. And a lot of times they'll tell you what is and is not your so-called signature. Has anyone ever looked at the legal definition of signature in a law dictionary? Your signature is whatever you say it is. If my name is Yaffa and I take a newspaper and I cut out a letter Y, cut an A, an F, an F, and an A, and I glue that down on something that says signature line, it is my signature if I say it is. It doesn't matter if I wrote it or if I'm incarcerated and I ask Antoinette to sign something for me. I'm not saying it's my handwriting. I'm saying it's my signature. And the term signature means that basically you are attesting to the validity of the instrument that bears this thing that's supposed to be symbolic of you. But it also binds you to the signatura of the Catholic Church. Which is S-I-G-N-A-T-U-R-A. Signatura and signature are one and the same thing. And the word sign is a cut short abbreviation for signature and signatura because they're spelled, signature and signatura are spelled exactly identical other than the last vowel, T or A, at the end. And vowels are removable and interchangeable in this language.
I want to give you my advice that I give to everybody else. I know a lot of what you're talking about. I've been looking up words for 30 years, and I know the definitions, and I know that the definitions change depending upon which dictionary you're looking in and which version of that dictionary you're looking in. But my advice is stay the hell out of its way because I call it the casino. And the casino always wins, no matter what. They're going to wear you down eventually. So you're best to stay out. When I was telling you about what they were doing over in Britain with the lay advisor, and I don't have your email. If someone will private message that to me, I will send you the links to those YouTube videos. I think you'll find them very interesting. Because this lay advisor not only sent three magistrates out of the court running, but when the clerk of the courts tried to get the lay advisor arrested, the lay advisor advised the police when they finally showed up and asked them if they were standing on their oath. Did they stand under their oath or on their oath, asked them that the court had been abandoned, that they had abandoned ship. And the lay advisor declared that he was in charge of the court. And he advised the police that his asking for the magistrate's oath was to whether they were standing on their oath when they arrived in court, that nothing could proceed until that took place. And he got the police to stand there and support him just by talking to him. It's kind of fascinating because he knew what he was talking about, and he knew how to talk to the cops. Now, I don't know if that'll work in America. In America, they'll just kick you in the teeth and claim that you hit them. However,
pretty much.
It's very interesting to watch what they're doing over in England because they're just figuring this stuff out. But what is it that the lay advisor has when he asks the magistrates whether they're on their oath today? Why do they run out of the room? What do they know? Or what are they not doing? Why would they run out of the room in the first place? If they thought they were absolutely doing everything correctly, then why should they run at all? But they did. They came out. They came back in. And then when he again asked them, they ran out again. And they wouldn't come back. And then there was a whole melee in the courthouse because there were it was just, you got to watch it. It's very interesting.
What, Drew,
well,
can you put the link in the chat room?
I don't have the link on me yet.
I'll give it to you. If you have a pen, I'll give it to you.
Yeah,
it's
go
not
ahead.
A secret. My email address is on my website.
All right, what is it?
Yes, do you want me to put your website in the chat room?
That's yeah. Fine. Yeah, sure, go ahead. My email address is YA, F like Frank, F like Frank, A, B like boy, EY, Yaffa Bay, at GMX, that's like Georgia, Mexico, X-ray.com. Yaffa Bay, DEY.
Okay, I got
GMX.com. Now, as far as what you're saying about the definition, yes, the words can change. That's why I said earlier in the show, and I don't know if you missed that part, if you're going to be submitting these paperwork, you need to include a definition page letting them know what you mean by it so they don't get an opportunity to interpret it the way they want to.
Right. And when you're doing definitions, I always say that the definitions that are relevant to any law or any constitutional amendment, anything, is the definitions that were in place when the constitutional amendment was created, not the words today.
Well, I keep trying to tell people to go back, and they keep telling me, oh, you know, that's old dictionaries and old meanings, and you need to get with the new times. Language is changing and evolving, and it doesn't mean that anymore. Well, I submit to you, if that's what it meant when it was documented as such, it means the same thing today. That's me.
That, right, no, you can't redefine it from the original constitutional wording. You have to define it with that constitutional thing you're fighting with. You have to define it. You can't go with some later on.
I just wanted to interject what Ju was saying about the judge leaving the bench and coming back in. I don't have a reference or a link for this, but someplace, I think from Rod Class or someplace I read that when they leave the bench and come back in, they've changed the venue. They've changed the law
right.
form.
Right, I said that.
I know when
right.
they leave the bench,
so.
They vacated the court. I know the court is not in session when they get up off the bench.
Right,
and
when
right.
they
it
come
was
back,
three of them. It was
when they
three
come back,
magistrates.
They changed it. They changed the law form.
Right.
Well, and I think right. this guy who was saying he was the lay advisor, he was taking care of that. But he then turned around as soon as they left. He said the magistrates have abandoned the ship, and he claimed that he was now the master of the ship.
Right.
Well,
he claimed beneficiary.
Well, he admitted that you're dealing with a ship.
An administrator.
I'm amazed that they admit it.
Well,
the second time a judge comes back, that's UCC law, is usually what that refers to. Okay.
So how do you know that?
Because you asked them the jurisdiction you're presiding over.
Well,
can
he was asking
you?
Them whether they were on their oath or not.
Right, right. But their oath ain't under the UCC law. that's different. You know what I mean? Every time they even come back in,
they're under different jurisdiction.
Right. Right. You got to question the jurisdiction when he comes in.
And let me ask this question. This is just a little off the side, but you mentioned, Antoinette, David Wynn Miller, did you not?
Yes, I was going by a quote that was in the chat room from Sister Agonia, I believe.
Oh, okay, that's where that came from? So does she have knowledge of David Wynn Miller?
I've listened to several of his videos.
Yeah, I've met him several times. We brought him to Philip.
Isn't he the now language guy?
Syntax.
David Wynn Miller reads everything backwards. He reads everything backwards. He reads laws backwards. He doesn't read them forwards. He will start from the end and construct it from the end to the beginning. I don't know if he's still doing that, but he was, I forget his main theme, but...
Syntax, he called it.
He may have changed that. I'm going back to the 90s.
Okay.
I've met him personally. I've sat with him while he does what he does.
His seminars.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Jew has been around, Antoinette.
I see you have. I see that you have, Jew.
What did you call yourself?
I am the one angry Jew. My name infuriates most people. That's
the
way
I
like
it. That is the name, One Angry Jew?
That's the way I like it. Well, that's my name on BTR.
One very angry Jew.
Okay.
But I've met just about everybody. Most of the time. I've met everybody in what I'll call the freedom movement. Whether it's, keep forgetting his name now, whether it's the guy who wrote the Creature from Jekyll Island, I've had dinner with him several times. Gene Schroeder, if anybody knows Gene Schroeder, we brought him in several times.
Hey, Jew, have you met Roger Elvick, the granddaddy of the sovereignty movement?
I have not. I did meet the sovereign citizen. What was it? I'm forgetting his name, out of California. He's the father of the sovereign citizen movement, but his name escapes me.
Mm-hmm.
I've met them all.
Not Tim Turner.
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, if
I'm
I go
not
to
a
lie,
part of the
if
sovereign
I,
citizen movement, because I know that don't exist. No such thing as a sovereign citizen.
Well, a lot of these things don't exist. A lot of these things don't exist. We see a lot of this stuff, and they turn out to be garbage. Or some people have pieces of it right. You take the pieces
and that
work.
The key. Everybody's got pieces. Go gather your pieces and create your complete puzzle for yourself as an individual.
Yeah. And that's what the whole
Richard
person
McDonald.
And no citizen is
Richard
a sovereign,
McDonald.
So a sovereign citizen don't exist.
Richard McDonald has, well, he seems to have pretty good success, though, with...
having success and being a sovereign citizen are not the same. I've never heard of him, but I haven't heard of everybody. I don't know everybody. I don't know everything.
Any of you know Joyce Rosenwald?
Nope.
Nobody,
I haven't heard of most people. Nope.
How about Dan Meter?
Nope.
You know Joyce passed away, don't you?
Yes, Joyce is a friend of mine. I know she passed away. I think of Joyce a lot when I hear a lot of this stuff, because I can just hear her say, did you know? Did you know that?
I believe she was the author of the article, The Structure of the Birth Certificate.
No, I have all of Joyce's work. I don't know. Let me go look. I have everything she wrote.
And Federal Children.
Well, she called that Parents Patriae.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew Joyce?
No, I participated on some talk shows that Joyce was on before she passed away.
Right.
Yeah, was she the lady that passed from cancer?
No.
She had a stroke.
No, okay. Oh, she had a stroke. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Joyce had a lot of stuff wrong with her, but a stroke got her.
Oh, okay.
But Joyce used to before she wrote stuff, she used to run it by me because I used to find stuff in there that I questioned.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce was probably one of the most brilliant legal researchers in this particular movement. She knew how things were put together.
Okay. Okay, well, I did put Yalpa Bay's site, her website, in the chat room for y'all. And Yalpa is also on Blog Talk once a month, now that she has other speaking engagements, such as she did with us tonight. But on the last Wednesday of every month, she is on Wake the Hell Up Wednesdays. And I put the link in there for y'all for that.
Well, and I'm also, I'll email.
And she has several YouTubes that she has done. The Fall of Rome. Am I saying that correctly, Yalpa?
From Piercing the Fog was first in 2000. Well, not. Let me clean that up. The real Piercing the Fog, which just got uploaded to YouTube approximately a month ago. I have not uploaded me anywhere on YouTube. I'm all over YouTube, and I have nothing to do with YouTube. I can't vote, can't comment, can't upload or download. But the real Piercing the Fog, and the uploader called it that, the real Piercing the Fog, where I'm wearing white from head to toe, was from 2001. That just got uploaded to YouTube a month ago. There's another YouTube that is on a video called Piercing the Fog, but it's not Piercing the Fog. The uploaders put the wrong title on it. It's really called Sharing Clarity in Chicago on How to Use the Dictionary. But it's uploaded to YouTube as Piercing the Fog, and I'm wearing a purple diadem, which other people would call a turban. That was in 2006. And then Surviving the Fall of Rome is out there with the correct title, and that's from 2007. And then a lot of people have little pieces and clips that are more of interest to them than other parts of what I think. But I tell people, you don't have to take it. Take what you can use and discard the rest with me and everybody else.
Yes.
No individual has all the answers. Nobody has all the answers out here. A lot of people have parts and pieces and can help you on your way, but you're going to have to find your own way.
That is true. But we certainly enjoyed you tonight. You were very informative, as you are every time I hear you speak. You're always very informative and always shed light on so many things that is out there. And just when you think that there's all that you can get from you, you come and you bring more.
And how about
so
how about William Taylor Ryle? You're familiar with Bill's work on traveling?
What's his name? Bill what?
Bill Ryle.
I've never heard of him either. I've never heard of most people. I just recently heard of Myron Fagan. I know Jordan Maxwell. I mean, he doesn't know me as Yalpa. If I sat and talked to him, I could very quickly make him remember who I am. But I don't really know anybody. I don't really know some people out there. I'm very much a loner type. Very much a me. Leave me alone, me. It's about me kind of person. Very introverted and into myself. I like it that way. So when I find out about other things and others, I don't watch the news. I don't care what's going on. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear about it. But people text me and email me and constantly give me this information because it affects my mental energy, you know. And people call me, oh, they kicked down my door and took my child away. Child Protective Services, what do I do? And they impounded my car, what do I do? I just got out of jail, what do I do? I'm in foreclosure, what do I do? I mean, I don't know everything. So I can get people clear. I can help them a little bit. I just tell them, I'm not even the one. I'm the words. You need to go to so-and-so for this information, so-and-so for that information. Well, they're not answering you. You're the only person to answer. You're the only person who calls people back. Well, I can help you to the best of my ability. Are you even caught up on what I've said? Because if you're not, I don't feel like doing one-on-one personal private instruction when the information is already out there. But, you know, a lot of times people call in and they need help. And, I don't mind, but it's very draining on the energy. And after a day or two of being on the phone with various people all day long, I need to take a day or a week or two not on the phone at all in order to recover. But, I don't know people. I don't really want to know too many people today, too.
Okay, the two links I just put two links in the chat room. Yeah,
no,
that is.
I'm not even looking at chat rooms. I never look at chat rooms. I have no idea what people are saying.
I'll email it to you.
Oh,
you forward it to her, Antoinette. That's fine. It's called Magistrate Fails to Prove Jurisdiction. Yeah, I know you gave it to me. This is.
Oh, okay.
Called,
well, you can forward it to her, Jill. And, Jew, I put a link in there for you, Roger Elvick, The Lost Tapes. I think you'll appreciate it.
Yeah, I have it. I got it.
That name rings a bell. Roger Elvick rings a bell. Say, right? So go ahead with what you were saying about the judge failed to prove jurisdiction. And you?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going through my YouTube stuff. But that.
No, I thought you were reading something.
The two videos, you got to watch them because what goes on in that court is very interesting. This is a British court.
But send it to me and I'll
I
check
don't,
it out. And once I get clear, I can help other people with it.
Right, but I don't. When you say clear, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I have the capacity to take little bits of information and see the big picture. It's almost like puzzles. It's like, you know, people can give you puzzles. You know, if a bunch of people have different pieces of the puzzle or you're trying to put a puzzle together and you don't have all the pieces, I don't really have to have all the pieces to basically see the end result of a puzzle. So when I look at whatever it is that you're talking about for me to look at, there are things that I will be able to see that other people probably won't see or other people will miss. And all kinds of lights and bells will go off, and I'll get very, very clear, and I'll be able to explain it to people as if they are in the third grade so that they can comprehend what is going on. That's what I do. I help get people clear and move the fog away so they can see it better. I don't know all the ins and outs. Well, you got to file this form on this date, and then 3 days later you file that form at this building, and this form, I don't know the specifics, but I can always see the big picture and the big crystal clear what's going on. But if they need specifics, that's somebody else.
Right,
well,
I understand.
Yeah, if I know that you're already aware of the Georgia boy and his organs being taken.
Yeah, somebody brought that to my attention last night after my interview, because that was something that should have been new, but it's not news to me. He was just letting me know, you know, Yaffa, you've been talking about this.
Yes.
People are being robbed of their body parts and organs across the United States at an alarming rate. And it's across the ethnic divide, across the gender divide, and across the age divide. There's something going on. But then people need to look into this book called Medicinal Cannibalism to get clearer about that. That stuff has never stopped and never changed. Many people are behind the nonsense now that were behind it then.
Yes, and I know last night someone had asked what was the price of different organs, if you know that off the top of your head.
No, I do not know, but I do know that it is an extremely lucrative industry, and a lot of people that are heavily participating in it are supposed to be so-called Jews. Maybe the angry Jew would know.
Yeah, I know what.
Never mind.
The price
of
body parts
organs. Oh, well, don't get me started on that discussion I started yesterday, Antoinette.
No, I was asking the question, and Yalpa said maybe you would know.
No, I don't know what the value is. I do know it is extremely lucrative, but it is something that can be found in a Google search. Seriously.
Okay, I remember we had talked about that before.
A lot of people are coming up missing at an alarming rate because of that very industry. There are more people in slavery today than ever in the history of man against their will.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
People don't even know how many people are being snatched up and thrown on trains and boats and shipped over wherever and put into bondage as sex slaves, as torture instruments, as experimental for cannibalism, for blood drinking, for body parts and organ harvesting, for the making of babies, for rituals. I mean, it's crazy. I don't think it's fixable. I'm not going to change my mind on that. I don't think it can be fixed.
No, I don't either. I don't know what it's going to take to fix it. Because every time you turn around, you always hear about children being missing. You know, teenagers, young adults, you just always hear about people being missing. We're always looking for, you know, Amber Alerts, and then they have before the Elderly Alerts and everything else, you know, where people are always missing.
They are selling kneecaps, tendons, fingers, toes, shins, pineals, pituitary glands. You'd be amazed. You know, some people are actually eating this stuff. A lot of it is being utilized for medicinal things that people are purchasing off the shelves, not knowing that that's what's in it. What's going on Earth today is becoming a real horror story to me. That's why I don't come out, and that's why I really don't want to know. And not that I don't know what's going on. I do know what's going on. People are, oh, you're burying your head in the sand. Trust me, I am the person whose head is least buried in the sand. I know more about what's going on than most people know or want to know. I've forgotten more about what's going on than most people have ever learned. But I just don't want to keep hearing about it. I don't want to know. You know, let's find some solutions. I try to give people some solutions to the best of my ability. I don't have all the answers, but I've told people a lot of things that can and should be done to solve this thing. But a lot of people can't get past the, I hate gays, I hate blacks, I hate whites, I hate women, I hate men, I hate children. As long as people are stuck there, we're not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
Hate the Republicans, hate the Democrats, hate the president. You know, so I don't know.
And that reminds me.
Here's what it is.
Yeah, well, I'd like to ask you back again. You have to tell me a good time, because we would like to do a show on solutions, you know, on emergency preparations and everything else. I know that you're aware of the November 13th and 14th on the grid going down for 2 days.
Well, and now they're saying the grid isn't going to go down. It's just a simulation, and no power will be shut down at all.
Yeah. But that was the registration paper.
Have nothing happen to be ready for everything. It's better to be ready for everything and have nothing happen than to be ready for nothing and have all hell break loose.
That is correct.
But as far as emergency preparedness, I've already covered that on different shows. We've done that on Do I Speak. We've done the ladies did it, the Empress T and Empress KJ did it on Wake the Hell Up Wednesday about 3 to 4 Wednesdays ago.
Yeah.
We did a whole show on survival, emergency survival, or emergency preparedness.
Yeah, well, I know you have a lot of things.
Months ago. There's a little bit on my website. Not a lot. It needs to be updated, but there's a little something, you know.
Yeah, well, I know you have a lot of things. Ron has, you know, things, and that's why I said, well, you know, some of the things that Ron has, you may not have, and some of the things you may know, you know, Ron may not know. And you know, I said, and everybody just write these things down and just have them.
I mean, I don't mind. I don't know what else I can say that I have not already said about it or already posted about it. you know, somewhere in my blog talk, American Empire Restored show, or on Do I Speak, the Wake the Hell Up Wednesdays, it's been addressed, or on my website on the emergency preparedness page, some of it has been addressed. There needs to be more. I mean, I haven't covered things like how to create your own oven with some silver reflective thing and something dark, just a solar oven. You know, you can do that too. I haven't covered those types of things. You know, you can take an old pizza box and some aluminum foil and something dark and basically create a solar stove to cook with. But
I never knew that.
It would be an interesting.
Now she's talking
up
my alley real big time.
Yeah.
Now you're talking up my alley.
I mean, I haven't gotten into all of that, but, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear what I have to say about, oh, you're always trying to scare people. You're always trying to bring fear.
Well, that's what we get, too.
I'm trying to keep you aware so you can prepare. If you are prepared, there's nothing to fear.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what
exactly.
We get, Alpha, that
thank
we,
you.
That we do fear-mongering, and, you know, it's not fear-mongering.
Doom
we're just
gloom.
Letting you know. You know, this
we
is
do
what...
Doom and gloom.
Pardon me?
We do doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And really, it's reality. So...
Yeah.
I'm trying to prepare people. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's what I'm trying to do, but they don't want to hear it. And I'm getting to the point. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little tired of talking. But I do keep talking because there are those people that want to hear it. Although they're a small bunch, they're there. So I keep talking.
Mm-hmm.
To them,
same here.
You know?
Yeah.
Some of these people do make you tired. But let me say this before we go off because, you know, in a minute we're going to be off air and you know,
yeah, we have
talk,
9 minutes.
Your network will kick you off.
Yes, it will.
When the time is up. We were talking about earlier, I and you yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The distinct, you know, if someone is addressing you yourself and there are other persons that can be included in the address to you yourself, if they fail to say you yourself, they are not emphatically and distinctively addressing you yourself, the individual. They could be addressing any number of persons that are very similar to you in very, very multiple ways similar to you. If they fail to do so, you can always distinguish the difference between you, yourself, and you by utilizing the term myself. M-Y-S-E-L-F is an intensifier of me and an intensifier of I. And it could be reflexively used as a substitute for me, but it is a compound of the word my and the word self, and it is especially used, listen very carefully, after the word I to express emphasis, marking emphatically the distinction between the speaker and another person. Remember we were talking earlier about the persons that look for all intents and purposes to be you, but are not. They are. It is an entity that you yourself utilize so that you can navigate without being harassed when you get the driver's license to keep people off your back because you haven't figured out how to navigate without the thing. These are things that you utilize to get by until you figure out how to do it without all of the nonsense. But in the meantime, the term myself after I distinguishes you markedly from all other persons that are remotely similar to you or completely similar to you or whatever the case may be. So you would say, well, I myself can't really plead for you. You who? Who are you talking to? The corporate fiction person or the natural person? And I'm not saying go in there and say any of that stuff. If you do it, it doesn't work. I don't want to hear it because you're probably not clear enough to do it. Just get clear first. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Just keep getting clear, and one day you will know what to say.
Well,
you
are correct. When they know that
you
don't know.
Saying.
You are correct. When they know that you don't know, they'll run right over you.
They will ring you over the coals. They've done it to me. Ran me right over the coals. So, don't know, just sit there and roll with it. You know, if you got the revenue, then pay the ticket. And, you know, every time you go, you get stronger, clearer, better, and one day you'll be able to stand up, and the first time you're nervous, and the second time you're nervous, and the third time you're less nervous, and each time you get less nervous, So these are very intimidating people. They have the guns and badges, like he said earlier. They have the guns and bullets, and you don't. Let me give you guys one more word before we close.
Okay.
There's a word called I-T-E-R that a lot of people are not aware of. I-T-E-R. Stop it. And that is a Black Law Dictionary term or any other legal dictionary term. The word ITER, and it may be pronounced feature, is about right-of-way. The key thing to know, and people talk about right to travel, the right to travel or travail, ITER lets you know that there are three kinds of right-of-way that belong as a servitude of an estate in the country. Now, remember, I tried to advise you earlier. Some people are going to be, well, I ain't no damn servant. Well, yeah, you kind of are. You're not yet autonomous, therefore you're not yet sovereign. You are not completely autonomous. You are not sovereign and cannot be unless you're autonomous. The United States at this point is not even autonomous because they have to use so-called money from the Federal Reserve instead of their own.
Well, but, wait a second. They have printed United States notes. They have printed United States notes. I'm holding some.
Right. But anyway, hold on a second. You said I-T-E-R.
Every president that tries to do the United States notes gets killed.
Well, you're right about that.
Excuse me. Excuse me for a minute.
I-T-E-R.
You said I
put it in the chat room.
I like Indiana, T like Texas, mm-hmm. E like Easter, R like rabbit. ITER.
Okay. ITER. Okay, all right. Thank you.
In the law dictionary, you will find out that there are three kinds of right-of-way belonging as a servitude of an estate. So the people do not realize that basically we have been put into a position of being servants in an estate that should be the people's, but has basically been usurped and stolen. And the fact that you are an employee with an employer means that you are a servant with a master. There are three kinds of right-of-way that belong to you. One kind is an ITER. The ITER is the right to walk or ride horseback or in a litter. The second type of right-of-way is called an actus, spelled A-C-T-U-S like Sam, actus, actus, like cactus without the tree in front. And that is the right to drive a beast or vehicle. Now, remember, when you're doing vehicles, you're doing commerce and commercial as a paid individual. The third right is called via. So instead of saying you have the right to travel, it's better to talk about your via or via. V like Victor, I-A. The word via means you have full right of way. And that's not a lot, that's a little piece I can give you all. VIA, via. Like, oh, well, you go via this route or via that route.
Yeah.
Right.
The word
right.
via has a lot more legal significance than right to travel. That's all I'm saying.
Right on. But hey, we got a couple minutes left.
It may help you,
right.
It may not. Okay. I don't know everything. I don't know what all you should do, but hopefully it'll help you out.
By the way, let me just interject something real quick. Ron?
Okay, dude, we're down to 2 minutes, so you got it.
I need 10 seconds. Don't.
Okay,
Ron,
go ahead.
Okay.
When the show ends, I'm going to call you.
Okay.
I have some questions for you. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. We can do that.
All right.
All right, cool.
Well,
all right,
thank
hey,
you
but
so
I want to thank
you for having me on.
Absolutely.
Oh,
thank you
for
so much,
coming.
Doctor.
I truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. I'd love to have you back. Anytime we get a hold of you, get you to come back again. That'd be great. I definitely want to thank you for coming.
You.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of information. Good information.
Yeah.
People need to really
Ron.
Take a look at. I had a really good time.
Thank you so much, Alpha.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to it, Ashley. So.
Every time I talk to you, I always learn something.
I'm going to go back and listen to pieces of this, especially that you yourself stuff. I want to hear that again.
There you go.
Yeah, it's important.
Yes, thank you so much, Alpha. And thank the little lady for me because she was good tonight.
Yes,
I hear Ron trying to say something out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ron. I'm sorry.
I just want to thank all my listeners. Thank everybody. You can listen to this also in the archives many times as you'd like. It's a very spot. I can listen to it a few times. Keep myself. Thank you.
He's breaking up.
You all have a good evening, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay,
oh,
thank
welcome.
You, everyone,
October
for coming.
2013. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Yapa. Thank you,
you're
everyone, for coming.
And
I hope you enjoyed the show and that you enjoyed our guest, Yapa Bay. And that, well, I know you got something out of it. So thank you all for coming, and we will see you all tomorrow at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Okay, have a good night, folks. Bye-bye.